is we're one of some of the few cities that do this every year, where all three cities get together, share a couple of agenda items, and get caught up on usually three or four topics that are going on that affects all three cities. So at this time, I've asked Mayor Harold Benson to do the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you very much for that. So at this time, we're going to do introductions, and the way we're going to do is we're going to kind of start, go around the room here, and it's always kind of fun where people are from, a little bit of history about you, like if you're a native of Maple Valley, or Washington State, or California, wherever you're from, and then what occupation you have, because almost everyone in this room has another occupation besides being a council member. So let's we'll start down here with Regan and work our way this way, even though he's got a full-time job. But
Regan Boley, city manager in the city of Covington. Real briefly, I'm originally from California, then Utah, and then made my way up here a year and a half ago, and have loved being in Covington and this entire region.
David Johnston, city manager for City of Maple Valley, and been there for 7 years. Native Hoosier from the Midwest, so I'm a transplant, and my wife and I enjoy the quality of life that this area has to offer. And everybody in these three cities that I've worked with, been wonderful working relationships. Thank you.
Bill Allison, city council member, position number two, Maple Valley. So born in California, raised in Washington and Issaquah, and then moved to Maple Valley in 99 and been on council going on 7 years now. So, over to you, Matt.
Margaret Hardo, City of Covington Council position number three. Born and raised in Oregon, specifically Seaside, Oregon. And came to the state of Washington 49 years ago. And I shared with Mr. Allison, I don't know that I have an occupation. I've been busy doing a few other things for the last 14 years.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Les Burberry, Maple Valley City Council. Newbie, my first term on council. I'm a regional manager for AAA Washington, and we moved to Washington in 1989, and I'm originally a Kentucky Wildcat. But now a Washingtonian.
My name is Brian Weber. I'm new as well to the council. Military brat, so I lived all over. I spent most of my time growing up down south and quite a few years in Montana. I transferred out here with Boeing about 9 years ago. And my day-to-day job is an electromagnetic engineer at Boeing. And I'm a diehard LSU guy.
Okay, I'm Marla Moon, Covington Council Position 1. Let's see, I'm third generation Washingtonian. I grew up in Ellensburg. But I lived in Maple Valley from 1975 till 1991. And I taught school in Maple Valley for 25 years. Used to teach swimming at the Tahoe Pool. The Aquatic Center. Moved to Covington in 1991. I'm currently retired, except for I chair SBA PIC and co-chair the Raya 9 Ecosystem Forum.
I'm Dana Parnello. I've lived in Maple Valley since 03. I've lived in Washington since 99. For the 11 years before that, I was in Colorado. I spent 20 years working for REI, recently transitioned to real estate about a year and a half ago. And I started on the Planning Commission in Maple Valley in 2006 and have been involved in a variety of capacities ever since. I'm currently in the middle of a four-year term, the first 2 years of which I've been appointed.
So Erica Morgan from Black Diamond, Council Position 2. Pioneer Washington family. I've been in Black Diamond since 1978. I'm retired.
Well, I wish you were there. Jim Scott, Position 6, Covington City Council. Born in Oaktown,
Troy. Moved out here with a Boeing boom. Raised in the Kirkland and Juanita area. My last meeting as a council member would be the 24th of this month. Sharon and I found some property outside of Covington and built our dream retirement home. So, been on the council for over 12 years, planning commission 4 years before that, and 30 years as a financial advisor. So, you can afford the ranch.
I'm Carol Benson, and I was born in Bremerton, raised in Seattle. I moved out here in 1979, and I retired in 2010 as chief financial officer for an engineering, construction, and development firm. I was on council for 3 years before I was appointed mayor last year, or year before last, and I was elected mayor in the last election.
Thank you. Sean Kelly, born and raised in Maple Valley, 41 years there in town. I did live in Black Diamond, though, for 3 years when I bought a house and lived up by Lake Sawyer there. So my first house was in Black Diamond, so it was an honor to be in Black Diamond for a little bit. I work for Tahoma School District. I'm the operations supervisor, so I oversee transportation, maintenance, custodian, safety, and security, large umbrella there. It's always fun, always something fun going on every day in the school district. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Thank you very much for coming out.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Wagner, the mayor of Covington, newly appointed mayor, been on the council, this is my 13th year. I was born in North Dakota and lived in probably 47 different places, so, but not in the Army. My dad was in retail, so making friends has not been hard. The outgoing. I'm currently the municipal manager for Republic Services, so I used to work with Jim and as a financial advisor, and I get to talk trash and what I like, besides all the different organizations that we work on as a city, I like spending most of my evenings at home with my three girls. So we will get done early tonight.
Yeah. He says he's taking this away at 8:30.
Tammy Beattie, Black Diamond City Council, position number one. This is my starting my second term. I'm a third generation citizen of Black Diamond, and got four great kids. Love my city and plan on retiring, and eventually my kids will take over.
My name is Sean Smith. I'm the mayor pro tem of Covington. I've been on the council about a year and a half. I was on the planning commission for about 5 years before that. I was born in San Antonio, Texas. I'm a military brat as well. Moved every 2 years until I was 10. Finally settled in Spokane. I'm married with two kids, and I work for the Department of Ecology in Lacey on hazardous waste cleanups. One of the sites is the Hanford cleanup. I work on that. And in my spare time, I write political thrillers. I've got a couple on Amazon, so.
Cool. They're fun.
Yeah.
What is that?
All right.
Is that a national park?
Really? How do you follow that? I haven't heard you follow that.
Make something up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I've traveled the globe. I'm Erin Weaver, completely boring in following that. I am my 7th year on the city council, 10 years on the planning commission before that. So I love working with the city of Maple Valley. And in my spare time, I am a high school math teacher. It is May, teaching high school students with about 3.5 weeks left, so empty, please.
Yeah.
And I'm very grateful to be here. I love these meetings, and I so value our collaborative spirit and effort we do. So thank you.
Mark Lanza, Covington City Council, position 2. I've been on the council now for 14 years. Lived in Covington since 1989. Was born and raised in Ohio, so a diehard Buckeye fan. Worked at Cedar Valley Elementary in the library, so I will know how you feel, except I got a bunch of elementary school, which is a little bit of time. Much shorter.
I'm Janie Edelman. I'm Black Diamond City Council, position number 3. I have been on the council for 3 years.
my main job is being a grandma, and that is the best blessing in the whole world. And in my spare time, I do council work.
Megan Sheridan, like Les, I'm a newbie on council and came from the Planning Commission. I've been in Maple Valley for 7 years and actually work for the RE/MAX here in Covington. Awesome.
I'm Joe Simomo. I have lived in Covington officially since 2009. Lived on the edge of Covington before that, because my first place we lived, my family lived in Washington, was Maple Valley. My wife and I got married. We lived in Maple Valley, but I grew up in Kent. I'm originally from California. Don't ask me which team I like down there, because it's the Dodgers and the Athletics. I'm also a Yankee fan. Love them, Mark. And this is my first term on the council. This is year three, so this is my third Tri-City meeting. And I am a manager at McClendon Hardware.
Okay, my name is Pat Pepper. I'm a new elected city council member, position number five in Black Diamond. Before that, I worked on the Black Diamond Planning Commission. I was born in Seattle, raised on the East Coast, came back this way, worked in the Tahoma School District in Maple Valley, live in Black Diamond, and do a lot of shopping in Covington.
Thank you. Love that.
Well, thank you very much for all your introductions tonight. It's kind of fun to see all the different areas we all come from, because that's what makes our local governments operate so well, as everybody has different perspectives on things. So that's always good to hear that. We got a lot on the agenda tonight. First up on the agenda is the honorable, legendary U.S. Congressman from the 8th District, Congressman Dave Reichert.
Yeah.
I'll pay for it later.
Good evening, everybody. So when he said legendary, of course, my old cop friends back, I was like, oh. Because they knew me when, right? Still know me now, so that's good. Same old days. Hey, I'm Dave Reichert, and I'm from the federal government, and I'm here to help. I heard that when I was the lead detective in the Green River case, and when I was the sheriff and they wanted the FBI to get involved, and the FBI showed up and said, same thing, we're from the federal government. They stayed 6 months and they left, right? We stuck to it and solved that case. I'm happy to be here tonight. I want to first of all say thank you to all the citizenry that have arrived here tonight. You're away from your families. You could be home watching let's see what's on tonight.
Survivor.
What?
Modern Family.
Recording. Yeah, you can go back and watch the recording. What's the voice?
No, Modern Family tonight. Modern Family.
Oh, Modern Family.
Oh. That's what we've got here.
Yeah. Like we don't get enough of that at home.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I want to thank you for being here, because I know you take time away from your families. It really shows, you know, your community interest in the communities that you live in and want to be apprised and made aware of and ask questions of the people that are elected, including me, on your behalf. What's going on in our city? What's going on in our county? And what's going on in the federal government? And that's part of your duty, is to, you know, is to hold us accountable, ask those questions. One of the things that I learned early on in my law enforcement career, I could make some decisions, and guess what? Most often I had, you know, one party or the other not real pleased with, especially the person that was in the handcuffs. They weren't usually very happy about the decision that I made in that case. I also discovered that in this job, especially in this district, being a 50-50, it is a toss-up district. Still today, even though we've added Kittitas, Chelan County, the part of Douglas County, it's still a 50-50 split on DNRs in this district. So no matter what I do, guess what? I've made one half or the other upset. But what I found is the key is you go back and you can explain yourself and why you did what you did. And I want to just very briefly, you know, just share with all of you how I make my decision. It goes back to my roots in law enforcement. I'm the oldest of seven. And so I was kind of the protector of my family, obviously, as the oldest of seven. But I look at legislation very much as I would a decision that I would have to make in an investigation, at a call that I used to go to back when I wore the uniform. And that is, if you don't listen to everybody, and if you're not listening to your radio on your way to the call, and when you get there, you're not listening to both sides of the story, you're going to make the wrong decision. But you're only, you know, human, so you're going to pick up as much as you can, and then you do the best you can to make the best decision for that situation, for this community. And when I look at legislation back in Washington, D.C., I weigh the facts, kind of a Joe Friday, just the facts. So the good and the bad and the ugly of a bill, that's how I do it. So if it's got a lot of good, more good than bad, I'll vote yes and I'll work on taking the bad out. If it's got more bad than good, I vote no, and I work on putting the good back somewhere else. And that's the process back in D.C. you have to go through, because there is not a perfect bill. I think everybody understands that. So, I moved out of Covington in 1976. There was a two-lane highway that ran through between Kent and Covington. What was that, the name of that highway? 18?
Oh.
Yeah, there's two lanes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a flashing red light.
At the rocket station.
Awful Brothers gas station.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they sold milk. For some reason, they sold milk and gas at Awful Brothers. So those of you who have been around for a while remember, because I used to run in gas up and buy some milk to take home. I lived up at 204th in the Kangley. It's changed. Understatement. Huge. And this group that you have in front of you is helping you lead the way through that change. And they need your help. I need your help too, by the way. They need your help and support in making those decisions and your input. And I just want to say thank you to this group for stepping up, all of you together. I know there are D's and R's in this room, and there's some controversy. We know that's going on. But that's what makes it exciting, makes it challenging, makes it difficult, but in that process, you really come up with, finally, the best route, the right ideas, and hopefully what's best for your community. I learned a long time ago, and I'm going to give you an update to Congress in just a minute, but I always like to take the opportunity to hopefully encourage you to keep on with the good work that you're doing, and also leave you with some thoughts that have helped me through my career. And it always, for me, goes back to either my childhood, growing up with seven kids in the family in sort of a rough time, or my roots in law enforcement. I remember I got a call early in my career. We call it a civil standby. I don't know if you guys still call it that or not today. But I meet this young lady on the street corner. She's standing on the sidewalk, and she's waiting for an officer to show up, and I show up. She says, I just got kicked out of my house, and I need help. I want to get back in and get my property because I have to go to work. And my husband won't let me back in. So I was 22 years old. I kind of hiked my pants up. I'd been on for an entire year. And I thought to myself, yeah, that's confidence. I thought, I was in pretty good shape, you know, 22, 23 years old. I walked up to the door and I said, this is going to be a piece of cake. We'll get in here, get her clothes, and be out of here. I knock on the door. The door opens up, and I'm looking at eye level, and I think I'm going to be looking at the guy eye level. I started out eye level, but I'm looking at his belly button. And then I did this. And she's like this tall. You guys have been there before. You've seen this. I looked at her like, could you not have told me that your husband was a giant? Like, how does this work? So he is just screaming at me. In every four-letter word that you could think of, he is firing at me from the front door. And so, you know, I had to adjust my attitude, and I had to adjust my plan, and I took a step back. I had my nightstick out, too, and I just slipped that back into my nightstick holder. He's still yelling at me, so I took another step backwards. But we're still talking. Finally, calmed down a little bit. No portable radio back then, so I couldn't run. I couldn't do this. You know, call for backup. Wouldn't have to leave and go back to my police car. you can invite us in. She's got 15 minutes. So we sit down on the couch. She rushes in. She's in the bedroom. She's packing her stuff. We're sitting on the couch. We're having a discussion. Like this. And I'm a little nervous because he's still angry. 15 minutes goes by. He's watching his clock. He's watching his watch. Finally says, she's out of here. Get her out of here. Stands up. I want her out of here now. She's all packed. She comes running out the door and onto the front porch. And I start to back out. And he says, whoa, stop. Hang on just for a second. And I said, oh, okay, now what's going to happen, you know? He reaches up, shakes my hand, and he says, you know, I just want to thank you. Thank you for taking the time and handling this the way that you did. Thank you for being calm and understanding. He says, I really did not want this to get ugly. And I said, I looked up at him and I said, you know, I didn't want this to get ugly. And then I added, because I did not want to beat the crap out of you. Or he did the same thing you did and laughed. I knew I was going to have to go back there again, right? So the next time I went back, he recognized me, knew me. We cooperated together. We accomplished our mission, and that was to get her into the house safely, gather her goods, out of the house safely, and go on her way, right? Today, we have lost that art of compromise and respect for each other. And I think that is, I mean, it's not just at the local, it's obviously, right? The national level, it has exploded into reality TV. And I often think, what in the world could our kids be thinking? I know what one of my 13-year-old daughters is thinking. She asked me the other day, Papa, why is this man calling people names? Isn't that a bad thing to say? And so then you have to say, yes, it is. And you explain, of course, try to explain. But I wanted to leave you with that picture in your mind that every now and then, all of us in life have to take a step backwards, take a deep breath, and sometimes, guess what, you might have to take a second step backwards and take another deep breath in order to step forward and make progress and come to a solution to any problem. So I wanted to share that with you. It's an experience that I had that has stuck with me all these many years. So I now live, went from Covington to Black Diamond. I lived in Black Diamond for 4 years. I now live between Auburn and Black Diamond out on the southeast Lake Holmes Road. I have now been in Congress for a little over 11 years. I am on the Ways and Means Committee. I'm in my 8th year on the Ways and Means Committee. And if anybody had ever said to me, Dave, when I was wearing the uniform, one day you're going to be going through the tax code line by line, I've shot myself. I mean, other than these two over here, the financial advisor, have you ever gone through the tax code line by line? Oh my gosh. So now you know why, at least I can explain to you how difficult it is to do tax reform. But it was a challenge, but very, it was an educational experience that we're still working on. So I am a senior member on the Ways and Means Committee. I'm fifth in seniority. In fact, if Kevin Brady ever leaves, I'll be one of the two or three that will be vying for the chairmanship of the Ways and Means Committee, where Paul Ryan just left from to become the speaker. I chair the subcommittee on trade. So my main focus is, as the subcommittee chairman on trade, obviously is right now, TPP is the Trans-Pacific Partnership. 40% of jobs in the country are directly related to trade. In the state of Washington, I should say, directly related to trade. That's why it's so critical for us here in Washington State. 40% of our jobs depend upon trade, and especially in the Pacific Rim area. Now, this means we have to have a trade agreement that protects American jobs and creates American jobs here. So right now, there's some language within TPP that doesn't quite accomplish some of those things. So it's in a holding pattern as we negotiate. I'm on the phone maybe every week, every other week, with Ambassador Froman, who is our trade ambassador, discussing these issues and how we're going to move forward in resolving things like Japanese pork, the pharmaceutical industry, and some of the language and the bill that relates to them. the international dispute resolution process where foreign companies, the United States can sue if you're doing business, for example, in Japan, and Japan passes a law that's hurting an American business, the U.S. company can sue Japan. Now, that can happen here in the United States, too. A foreign company can sue the United States government. However, we have never lost the case, ever. And they always choose to go through our court systems here in the U.S. because we have the best judicial system, it's not perfect, in the world. So they've never used the international dispute system. They've always used U.S. court systems, and they've always lost. So maybe they might have get a clue. So there are some other issues on trade that on the TPP that I could go through. TTIP, which is the European agreement, we're working on that. We just passed a bill last week called the Miscellaneous Tariff Bill. That helps businesses here in the United States and in Washington State especially. I could explain that, but it would take a few minutes to do that. The other thing I'm working on is, again, back to tax reform. So I am second in seniority on the tax writing subcommittee, the tax policy committee. I chaired that committee last year, and I chaired the human resources committee the year before that for 2 years. And we got some great legislation out of the human resources committee on foster care and human trafficking, two areas that I have a lot of information and a lot of knowledge on with my experience in the sheriff's office, especially as it relates to Green River and the foster kids that I would run up run into on the street back in those days. So I think if you talk to people who are in the foster care program and working human trafficking, Judge Bobby Bridge is one of those leaders here in King County, very appreciative of that legislation because it really goes directly to helping foster kids be kids. Foster kids be kids and not transferring, because we define success for foster kids in some states in this country by keeping them in the foster care system and moving them from one foster home to another foster home to another foster home until they foster care and they age out. And when they age out, what happens? They leave that system and they think to themselves, does anybody care? I have no family to go to Thanksgiving. My birthday, who do I go to? I've had 45 different foster care families. So what we try to do is encourage, through some incentives, adoption, so these kids get a loving home. That, to me, creates hope because you have support for a great education opportunity. That loving family supports that child through their education, get a good education, hope for a job, right? A good future for your family, and it helps address the, and I know they're going to be talking about it later, maybe some of the drug, alcohol issues that you're all dealing with in your community, also the homelessness issue. A lot of that is created by some of the things that I just talked about. Mm-hmm. The last thing I want to share with you, so that's what I'm doing in Congress on the Ways and Means Committee. We're doing some stuff on health care too, but that's, we'll figure that out later. Hopefully. You know, we're bringing a new president in January. Nobody's excited about that. Okay, the other thing I'm working on is this whole police and community deal. I started a task force back in Washington, D.C., because not every community has cops like these. Where you can trust, I know these guys and gals over here, where you can trust them, you know they can, because it's all about the community and the cops working together to protect your kids and your families, right? You can't do it alone, they can't do it alone. It's a partnership. Some communities do not have what you have here. Mm-hmm. They don't have that trust. And so we're trying to work together to try to build that across the country, working with Ferguson and Boston and some other cities that have had some difficulty. So I'll leave you with this one last story because, those of you know me know I'm a storyteller. So when I lived in Covington, my son, Dan, who's now 39, was 9 years old, and he wanted to mow the backyard. And I said, no, Dan, you're not going to mow the lawn. You can't do it. You're too young. And he said, I can do it, Dan. I can do it. I want to do it. And he's yanking on my shirt, Dan, I can do this. My wife gets a phone call. She comes out and gets me and says, Dave, you got a call.
And so I shut the lawnmower off. Dan says, Dad, let me mow the lawn. I said, no, you can't do it. I can do it. I can do it. I said, you can get the lawnmower started. You can mow the lawn. It was one of those old ones where you just, you know. So I'm watching out the window. And this is back when the phones were attached to the wall. So those of you who have hair like mine remember that. You know, it was attached to the wall. So I'm looking out the window, and I'm watching my son, Dan. And he's standing over the lawnmower. And it's the hot summer day that we had back then in whatever year that was. One summer day. Like 85 degrees. And Dan is yanking on this thing, and yanking on this thing, and yanking on this. Just keeps pulling. He doesn't give up, and sweat is just pouring down his 9-year-old's face. And I'm thinking, there's no way. And I saw him stop, and he paused, put his hands together. It's a true story. Put his hands together, and he looked up, and he goes, "Dear God, please help us drive this." He reached down, yanked on the rope. Guess what? The lawnmower started. So he said, "Thank you, God." So I thought to myself, you know what, if God wants him to mow the lawn, I'm not going to say anything. But here's the deal. Look, we all have kids. Or we have nieces and nephews. Or we have, you know, grandpa. Or you, we all have a stake in a young child's life. And if you remember back when you were kids, and if you remember your kids or your relatives' kids, they have that hope. They have that heart, they have that view of the future where anything is possible as people work together. And that reminded me, you know, that day when Dan did this and pulled that lawnmower, he knew who he was going to turn to start that lawnmower. And all of us in this room are role models for our kids. And everything that we do and say, our kids are watching us and they listen. And so, if they may turn to you, they may turn to prayer, they may turn to grandpa and grandma. My grandkids do sometimes, and it's a blessing for that to happen. But when they do, words of encouragement and positive words are the words that you need to share, because that's the kind of citizen we want to grow here in Covington, Maple Valley, and Black Diamond. I thank you all for your patience. Have a great night. Thanks for having me here tonight, you guys.
Do you want to take a couple questions?
Yeah.
Any council members have questions for... Any council members have any questions for Congressman Reichert while he's here?
How many frequent flyer miles do you
have? I'm a million mile member. Yeah, I just talked to Clay Gordon the other night. He just became a million mile member on Alaska. But yeah, so I'm a million mile member. You know what I get?
Nothing.
I get a free fruit and cheese plate. That's my penny.
You mentioned your... leadership on trade and wondering how we can help with that, say, here in the 8th District, and I'm thinking of the Tri-Cities in particular. What types of things can we do to increase trade for our communities and if we have that benefit of?
So, I think that part of the challenge is that people get nervous about trade because of some of the past trade agreements that some believe have not been so beneficial. And there's always this, we're going to ship jobs overseas. I'll just give you an example on what trade does. You know, our trade with Korea that we just finished about 3 or 4 years ago, Washington State, especially in the aerospace industry, has increased dramatically and helps create jobs here because we have to make more products to sell to Korea. So we have 5% of the market, so these are... In fact, you can share 5% of the market, global market, is the United States. 95%, of course, then makes sense, is outside the United States. We all want to buy American, but we want people across the globe to buy American. And so in order to do that, we need to get them to lower their tariffs so that we can sell more products into those countries. We already have low tariffs here. Most countries can sell their products here with little or no tariff. So our bargaining is we're going to reduce our tariffs continually over time, but you also have to reduce your tariffs and grant us market access for Japan, its pork, its automobiles, for Korea, its the financial services, insurance, banking, that sort of thing. For Colombia, its machinery, for example.
Caterpillar company. Every piece of equipment prior to the Colombian trade agreement that Caterpillar sold to Colombia would result in around a $200,000 tariff for machinery, right? So when that tariff is lowered, Caterpillar has about $200,000 per copy to put back into their business to make more machines to create more jobs. So trade is really about, and again, yes, this has to be a fair trade agreement where we have equal access to the markets across the world, across the globe, so we can sell our products too. Japan has been really, really tough on letting us have some access to their automobile market. In this agreement, they're going to have to allow us to have a lot more access when it comes to automobiles and other products too. So there really is a benefit for us. And the other thing that happens here, with especially with TPP, is so critical for us right now to pass this trade agreement. Probably come later towards the end of the year, because China has their version of TPP. China is already out there working, trying to get Vietnam, Cambodia, Singapore, Australia, trying to get them into their trade agreement. They will set a standard that is here. The United States and the countries that we're negotiating with will be setting a standard that's here, which then forces China to pass laws that that will cause them to raise their trade standards. So as far as the environment, they're going to have to raise their standards on protecting the environment. As far as human rights, they're going to have to raise their standards to the language in TPP and other trade agreements, especially TPP, on human rights issues. They are going to have to raise their standards when it comes to intellectual property rights, because right now they are ripping people off, as someone said in the campaign trail. We're getting ripped off by everybody, but in this case, China is actually stealing some trade secrets from people. I was at a meeting with the Brown and Haley Company in Tacoma, named Almond Roca. Everybody recognizes that around here. I was in a meeting, and one of the employees from Brown and Haley held up a box that looked like Almond Roca and said, "Does anybody want any Almond Roca in this meeting?" We all, of course, we raised our hands. Sure, all the people of Almond Roca. This is not Almond Roca. This is a Chinese knockoff. Hmm. So they tried to steal our Almond Roca recipe.
Not really,
but they'll do that with machinery and technology and you name it. So, first of all, we want to sell American products. Secondly, we want to set the high standard trade agreement, because we are in a global market. You're not winding that clock back. That ain't happening. So you got to, what's your other choice? Be a leader. Take control, be a leader, and set the standard. The third thing is, think about how small this globe has shrunk. When you talk about the geopolitical nature of this world right now and national security, every trade ambassador, foreign minister that comes in and meets with me, and it's almost every week that happens, they're saying, please, you guys have got to get engaged. They're looking for American leadership in this area, because when they're engaged with a trade agreement, the United States of America, that sends a huge signal to North Korea, to China, and any other enemies that we might have out there, that we're engaged not only verbally, but we have a partnership with Korea, South Korea. We have a partnership with Japan, Singapore, Malaysia. The other thing, real quick, I happened to be on a trade trip Singapore, Malaysia, and Japan during the port slowdown. So we're trying to work with people on port management and the unions on trying to avoid that in the next couple of years again. Lost a lot of jobs in this state, a lot of layoffs, a lot of products rotted, hay, apples, cherries, couldn't get shipped. I was over there, and they were really upset about the slowdown. In fact, they slowed their ships down to 6 knots, 8 knots, hoping that it would be over by the time the ships reached the west coast of the United States. But what really ticked off Japan especially was that they were not getting their French fries. I'm serious. They mentioned that, and that what really makes us mad is we're not getting our French fries. We love French fries. And I think all of us in this room recognize that Idaho, gets all the credit for grown potatoes. 70% of potatoes are grown right here in Washington State. So, they actually spent more money to fly them over. They didn't want to wait for them.
Oh, wow.
they put the French fries on airplanes. We got to just drive them down. this spread the word about jobs, about the, we are the most trade-dependent state in the country, Washington State, and in the whole nation, right here. We are one of the few, I think one out of seven, that has a trade surplus. So we're doing good here.
Well, Congressman, can you introduce Jacques right there? She's your Issaquah office.
Yeah, Jacques works out of Issaquah. What do you do?
I'm a senior outreach manager, and I'm actually in charge of all three cities.
Yep.
So I constantly meet with the mayor's office about their city priorities.
Well, she's the liaison with our office with everyone's assigned city. Mm-hmm. Jacques has Maple Valley, Black Diamond, Covington. Colin is from Washington, D.C. He's out this week. His family lives out here, so he's visiting his twin brother and his parents. But he's also working, too. Like, he's on vacation, but he said, can I be here tonight? And I just called.
Yeah. Man of people.
Yeah. Well, for the council.
What's your job?
I'm a resident assistant, so I handle various issues for Congress, like housing, if you're never homeless, transportation, labor, foreign affairs, and whatnot.
I was going to say, anytime, Jacques is really good about checking her emails and getting back to people and answering the phone, too. So, any councilman or anything you can hold his office, please just email, and she's really good about getting back to you, and it reaches up to his level, too, so he gets briefed on it. And you also have two other staff members that are outstanding, too, and that's Sue and Zach. They're really responsive, too, when I call down there. Anybody else, too. That means a lot that you're so accessible to us.
Well, the cops back here will recognize this, what we have, and I know they still do this too. The core values we operate by are the same core values the sheriff's office has. Leadership, integrity, service, and teamwork. LIST. They spell a word so those guys can remember it back when I was the sheriff, otherwise they wouldn't, I tried to come up with core values that spell donut. Somebody would help me on that. Leadership, integrity, service. Number one is service. And so that's what we, that's what we operate by in our office still today.
Yeah, I'm just curious in terms of trade agreements and discussions that you're having with other countries in the Pacific. Is China's attempt to militarize the South China Sea and the intimidation that they're providing in the island building that they're embarking on, is that changing the discussions, or is that intimidating? Is that effective at this point in intimidating some of those countries into these talks?
It's not intimidating them into the agreement. They want to be a part of this. But what they're saying to us is that they're very concerned. China is not going to relax their pressure. It's going to only intensify.
Yeah.
Now, we have agreed that, a trade agreement obviously means more activity between the U.S. and the country that we're talking about, but it also means that we're trying to get an additional aircraft carrier in the region to help bolster the security there. And that takes, that takes a little bit of effort, but it's just that presence in that area of the world really sends a strong message. And hopefully China begins to recognize that they need to be a partner rather than an adversary with not only the countries in that region, but with the United States.
Okay, thank you very much, Congressman. It's an honor to have you out
Thanks
here today.
Okay,
I got a quick house cleaning item here really quick. I've got three clerks, and the mayor right here reminded me I forgot to approve the agenda for tonight, and the three clerks are shaking. So we got
so moved.
Second. Okay, we got. So that's gone through. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, great. Carries 20-0. Make one note: Councilor Johnson did make her absence known tonight. Excuse. Thank you. Okay. Next up on the agenda is updates from the cities. First up is Black Diamond.
Well, I kind of
think you've read about us in the paper. Our new majority council members have changed the council rules to try to change the form of government. And it has slowed most of our government to a halt. They've only passed a couple things this year. But these projects, a lot of these projects that I have here, some of them are tied up in committee. So it would be nice if we could pray and maybe get some of these through committee in our meeting next week, or next tomorrow, the next day. So the first thing we have coming up is we have a new elementary school in Black Diamond that's being built by EMCOS School District. We do not have our own school district. And they have, the completion is scheduled for the start of fall of 2017. The next is work that's being done in the villages. Goodfellow is a local contractor and with a lot of local workers. They have permits allowing 1,000 homes to be built, and they anticipate by the end of 2017 that they will build approximately 300 homes. And this, let's see, which one is this? Down here at the right-hand corner, this is their rain gardens that are building very low impact according to the best practices that can be used. This next one is our Diamond Ridge final plat that we just approved. They're coming in with permits probably in the next week. There's 10 lots within the city. This is our culvert project, Covington Creek Culvert Replacement. We have a grant for the design of this culvert, and we're looking for new funding to do the construction of these culverts once the design is completed. This is our sidewalk overlay curb and streetlights on Roberts Drive. Whoops, did I miss one?
Yeah.
Oh, that was it.
There.
Okay. And they're going to rehab the bridge over Rock Creek, as well as the developer is contributing $46,000 towards the sidewalk on this bridge. And our improvement board grant was, together as several different grants, added up to $1.266.3 million. And the commercial 169 stormwater treatment facility has been on the top of our list since the first year that I was on council. And it's a priority project because it takes all the effluents from 169 and goes into this stormwater treatment facility. And we have a grant, a partial grant towards construction, and we're looking for more money for the construction of this stormwater facility that will keep the water out of Ginder Creek and off of Roberts Drive. This project is our downtown AC water main replacement, which is almost done. It will improve fire flow and water quality and reliability, and we got a block grant for $225,000 for this project. This project is in committee right now, and we're hoping that they will approve it. It's a the city design and bid came in under budget, and we're ready to do the overlay on this Jones Lake Road, and we're hoping we have a transportation improvement grant for $135,000, and we're hoping to get moving on this because the quote for the doing the overlay may not be good if it gets delayed further. And then we have this LED streetlight retrofit, which is paid for by the Transportation Board grant for $58,000 and Puget Sound Energy Conservation Grant for $8,900. This is also in committee. We'd like to get this out and get it. They're already working on it, and the grant doesn't cost the city any money at all, not one penny out of our pocket. And it will save the city a lot of money once we get all these LED lights in. And then these are some pictures of our Lake Sawyer Regional Park. The Lake Sawyer Park Foundation actually got a grant for $12,500 to make some improvements. They're thinking about putting a like they did in Ravensdale Park, some kind of a trail. It talks about the attributes and things in the area. And so that's what they're planning on doing there and putting up some signs. And we've had, last year we had a wedding in the park. And this is our boat launch park, and on the left is what it used to look like, and then on the right is what it looks like now. And it's been, the ramp where the boats go in has been improved, and it was another design bid permit project. And then these are just some of our other parks in the city. We have the Eagle Creek Park and the BMX track, which is actually by the gym if you haven't been there before. And then this is a picture of the school, the old schoolhouse that is now the gym. And the Deedy family has increased the usage of this gym by being very active. And we're planning on having our farmers market here this year, because the farmers market has lost their space at that where they are now. So we're hoping that we will be able to have the farmers market here. And then here's some of our other parks. And then Black Diamond has its own cemetery, so here's our cemetery. And then we have our museum. We have our new statue of the coal miner, and we have some new benches, and we have the new sidewalk. And this was all restored and refurbished in 2016. Does anybody have any questions about our projects? Got a lot of things going.
A lot of grant money.
Yeah, a lot of grant money. I have to thank our public works director and his staff for getting that grant money, too.
Thank you.
Okay, Regan, you're up.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, can't believe it's been a year since we sat here last time and did these updates. A lot's been happening in Covington as it has in the Tri-Cities area. First, an update on our transportation projects. As you're probably aware, Covington was successful in lobbying for some funds from the transportation package passed in the 2015 legislative session. This one is, we're calling the Covington Connector. It will expand 204th and extend it from Kent Kangley up and wrap around here and tie into the 256 exit on Highway 18. Something we're very excited about. Construction of that, or the beginning of construction, is contingent on that funding becoming available. It's anticipated that that will be in 2019, if not sooner. Next is our widening here of Kent Kangley from Jenkins Creek to 185th. Some perspective here, this multi-care hospital, Jenkins Creek runs here, and then Home Depot up a little further, as you can see in this slide. And we're working on that now, and should be completed next year. So we are pushing the bottleneck a little further east. And
so that's going to be the Four Corners in a year?
Yeah, that's right. So,
I want to talk to your legislator.
Not only the Four Corners.
Oh.
Yeah, we're not going that far yet, Mr. Mayor, but hopefully eventually together we can do that. This is one of those projects that's going to take a Tri-Cities effort to really complete, and it's needed and something we can work together on. This is a really cool aerial shot of our town center here in Covington. Some little perspective. This is Costco and Fred Meyer here, Valley Medical South Clinic, and Covington Elementary School. These three new buildings are the new Inland project that's happening right now in downtown. And that was a cool perspective to have up there. This is a rendering of what that will look like when completed. Again, the Inland project here that I'll talk about in a slide coming up. And then this here is where Covington Elementary School, so this spot right here, is currently. We have a right of first offer on that, as you're aware, the Kent School District's bond failed, so that pushes that project out a little bit until they can build a new school. But the hope there is a hotel, office building, city hall, and then a civic plaza to really kind of create the living room of the city. And then the plan would be to reroute the streets around here so these can be closed off right there and right here and bleed over into SoCo Park or South Covington Park. And we're working right now on securing three parcels on that other side of Wax Road to be able to put that park in at a future date. Again, this is the inland project. It will be completed this year. Pre-leasing is going very well. I believe of one of the facilities, this one here, the top three floors are already pre-leased. It's affordable housing and a 55 and over active community. It's got a nice pool and rec area right there. It will be a great addition to our town center. Cedar Springs, this is all the construction happening across the street from the Home Depot development. It's 170 units under construction. It's a really beautiful market-rate apartment development, and it should be completed this year as well. Cedar Creek Park is a brand-new one that's just been submitted to the city. It's currently under review. It's just right up 204th Avenue Southeast on the west side, and will include 83 lots. Maple Hills subdivision is further up on 204th on the east side of that, and this is where that Covington connector will come and wind down and connect onto 18. It's being done in four phases. Phase one is completed. Homes are being built up there. It's a really beautiful subdivision. With actually, on a clear day, you can see the Olympics from up there, so it's very cool, and the remainder of those phases are under construction and will be completed in the next couple of years. Mountain Meadows is a 28-lot subdivision in town and is almost fully built out and has done well there. Covington Way Center, you see this construction going on right on the corner of Covington Way and 18. It's 70,000 square feet of commercial space. It will include a Home Goods, a Famous Footwear, a Party City, and most likely a beauty supply store that's not yet been identified. I heard some mumbling. Is that you? Are you excited about that?
We were talking about the beauty store.
I was going to say, yeah. I think they'll have like special membership cards for you, too. So Lake Point Village is something we're really excited about that Oak Point is developing. It's just over 215 acres that they'll be doing at the gravel pit there. Again, 204th, that connector will come wrap around here. Connect. It's 1,500 residential units, over 850,000 square feet of commercial space, and something the city is a priority for the city and something we're very excited about. Multicare Hospital, you see that construction going on. We had to put a picture of the crane because we're kind of really excited about having a crane in town, which is pretty cool. You know, one of my employees came up and said, "Hey, you think you can get me up on top of that thing?" And I said, "No." But anyway, I don't know if he could climb up there. That was the problem. So, but anyway, that's just over 70,000 square feet. It is an additional three stories, so it'll be up to five stories and adds just over 50 new beds. A real benefit to the region. Covington Community Park is something I'd say the Covington City Council is very excited about. As new cities, you know, our 20th anniversary, I know for Maple Valley and Covington is next year, we have to create these parks that more older established cities don't have. So we're able to secure $8.5 million for phase two of Covington Community Park. Phase one was completed a couple years ago with the soccer field, some trailhead parking, and then trails through this beautiful wooded area. Phase two will include a stage, concessions, restrooms, play area, additional parking, which is much needed, and a tennis court. So excited about that beginning. It's underway in design right now, and construction should start early next year. Another really cool thing the city did last year, beginning of October, we finalized this, is we created a sister city with the city of Tatsuno, Japan. They sent a delegation over here. You can see former Mayor Harto and Mayor Kurihara. Yeah. From Tatsuno, Japan, signing the letters of intent to create the sister city. And then we were able to send a model that we found to Tatsuno and a couple others, and had a really incredible trip there. We'll be beginning our first student exchange this August. 10 students from Tatsuno will come here to Covington. We're currently looking for host families. So, excited about that. Our four big events coming up this summer, as always, Covington Days, the third weekend in July. If you feel like watermelon, come join us. Carly always makes sure we have plenty of that. A few summer concerts that are increasingly becoming more successful. It's a great time out in the park and a very relaxed, wonderful atmosphere. Kids Fest, we had our highest attendance last year. Over 1,200 kids attended that. We had a visit from what do you call it, Andy?
Guardian One.
Guardian One, the sheriff's helicopter. That was the highlight of that event. And then last year, we held our first Sausage and Cider Fest in partnership with the Covington Kiwanis Club. It was a huge success. A lot of people were asking for it again, and so we'll be doing that as well on August 20th, and that was a great event as well. And that is the City of Covington's update. Thanks.
Regan, quick question. Yeah. I get asked all the time this. What's the status of the movie theater? Is that coming, or is that a dream? Or
yeah, we
did.
I feel comfortable in saying there will be a movie theater in Covington one day, but unsure of its location.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay. Nice to look
that
after.
Work?
Yep. Thank you very much. David, you got the show.
We'll have to live on Netflix, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe something for me while I work on.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Appreciate the opportunity to provide all of you with an overview of what's happened in Maple Valley and what's going on this year. So without further ado, in 2015, if any of you have not been to Lake Wilderness Park lately, last year one of the major projects that we had finished was replacing our dock that had been built in 1972 and was needed to be replaced. And it's just a beautiful improvement. And during the fishing derby a couple weeks ago, the kids were really enjoying the wider dock. So it's a major improvement to our park. Also with that, we expanded our parking at the lodge and also made it not just a big flat square parking. We landscaped it, and so it actually blends in and enhances the park experience. In Parks and Recreation last year, and carrying over into this one, we really developed a very close working relationship with the Houma School District. We have an interlocal agreement for shared use of facilities, which the city never had before. But also at the same time, as the school was dealing with talking about what its mission is as a school district and realizing that the city itself now has a park and recreation department, that they could ask the city to take on the recreation programs. And the reason why they were in that business is years ago, there were no programs out here, and the school stepped up to fill that void. So we in this all interlocal agreement that we have, we now are in the recreation business. And interlocal agreement talks about school use of our park for events that the school district holds, for use of the meeting rooms of Lake Wilderness Lodge for meetings, trainings for the school district, and school paying for the use of main floor for large trainings, et cetera. Conversely, we get free use, the city gets free use of the boardroom for council meetings and plan commission meetings. We've had a handshake agreement, and now it's formalized through this agreement. And then finally, of the athletic programs that we took over that was part of the Tahoma Learning program, we use their recreation facilities to keep our kids active, and so and have more youth and adult programs as well. So that's really been beneficial to both organizations. On the public works side, anyone who's driven up Whitty Road sees a major improvement from 169 southward, and included in that was the first commission work from our public arts commission on three light poles. So that's a first. And then, as you can see, we have Ken Schrillefong with his friend standing there. Ken is our stormwater engineer. And what's important about that, we've had goats in our city as part of our stormwater program for a couple years. Last year, first time we had a llama. And so we thought we memorialized that with this photo. Also, we've really enhanced and benefited, and I think all three cities have, and you'll hear more about that in the Public Works update, with the partnerships that we have with our neighboring cities, with building services, with our vectoring contracts and our joint road maintenance programs. And so we make sure that those continue and are enhanced each year. I think, and what's important, that's a byproduct of these forums. So if there's a major deliverables, we can point to a few, and that's good. And then, as all the communities have done, in 2015, we've updated our mandatory update of the comprehensive plan. In community development for this year is to finish the zoning code, which should be done fairly shortly. Public works, we're going to have our annual overlay program. You're going to be seeing from 216th is our major construction project going from Kent Canely south to the railroad. It's a major upgrade to the road. We have to do pavement replacement. There's been some compromises over the years. And we're going to have sidewalks on both sides of the road, street lighting where there is no street lighting. It's going to be a major improvement. So we're just going to have to ask people to be patient and endure. This hopefully will be done by the fall. And then we're also working on the design of Whitty Road Phase 4, which is from the roundabout to just past Cedar Downs entrance, the golf course entrance. And what's going to be interesting on that, we're going to continue the pedestrian access on one side of the road, and bicycle access, and again, it's probably going to provide a very interesting working relationship between our public works department and our public arts commission to make sure that's a very attractive part of our community. We have to remind ourselves that Whitty Road is the only city-owned arterial. The other two are state highways, so we have to be very proud of what we own. And then, as you know, our parks bond failed, but we'll be, over the next couple months, talking about what does that mean. And but like Regan talked about what Covington's doing at the park, the need doesn't go away even though the bond failed. So it's going to have some interesting discussions in our community. Now, the outlook of 2016, we've decided to militarize Maple Valley. No, it's what's interesting when you have an asset like a major trail, regional trail going smack dab through your community, you get some interesting activity along that activity. And one of the challenges that our police department has is how do we keep that a very safe and family-oriented environment. And sometimes we have to take extraordinary measures to make sure that that safety aspect is enforced. Those two motorcycles are electric. And our office, we have a couple officers that have received the training on it. And what's neat about those, since they're electric, you can't hear them coming. And so, and then we also needed to have pretty much motorized access to get on the trail, because up until now, we had to park our police officers at a trailhead. Then they would have to do foot patrol or drag a bike off the back. And by that time, criminal activity would be disappeared. So we now have a couple land-based vehicles that our officers can use to traverse the entire length of the trail to keep that safe environment. So that's going on with our police department. Our excitement is the continued evolution of the new Tahoma High School. Probably over the last year, the most comments I get from people is how exciting it was going east on Kent Canely, and when they got to 228th stoplight, see this thing rise up out of the ashes. Like, what is that? And it's going to be the state's largest high school building. And they're ahead of schedule for their opening in September 2017. It's going to be a 2,400 student school with capacity up to 2,800. What's really exciting for the region is the regional education component. They already have agreements. They've created a whole huge area with four areas for training with outside schools coming in and holding classes and workshops on site. They already have agreements with Green River College and Renton they're finishing up Renton Technical College. Started talks with Bellevue College and other four-year institutions. So it's going to be, instead of an 8-3 building, it could be, in essence, a 6 a.m. to a 10 p.m. building serving our area. So we're very excited with that. What's also interesting with the school district is, as they looked at their capital needs from the bond that passed a couple years ago, and their attention to the budget in building the high school and other capital improvements of the other campuses, they are now shifting from a renovation of Lake Wilderness Elementary to building a new Lake Wilderness Elementary. So they're working with our staff to get that moving forward. Also, over the next few weeks, along 240th between Witte and 169, the Cedar River Water and Sewer District will be replacing a water main that will take care of any capacity and fire flow problems that exist on the north end of our city, primarily the area that's highlighted in pink, that is the gravel pit and the precinct area, so on the north end. We worked to lobby to get that grant for the Water and Sewer District, and again, it shows how good a working relationship we have with other intergovernmental agencies. So that's exciting. They think it might take about 3 to 4 weeks, and don't be alarmed. It's not going to affect the parade. All right, for Maple Valley days. Yeah, that's been. And then, of course, everybody loves our goats, and we asked the llama for a special pose, and the llama gave it to us. But it's interesting. We get calls when this program starts. When are the goats coming to our storm pond in our neighborhood? Because the kids love the goats. And it's also, though, just remember why we do it. They know how to handle steep slopes better than our maintenance crew. So that's going on. And, of course, just like we've heard from our other cities, the busy season at the park starts with the fishing derby. Then we have Maple Valley Days in about 6 weeks. And then after that, the 4th of July celebration at the park, music in the park. We're also having our second year of Shakespeare in the park, so make sure you come. It was really a pleasant surprise how the public enjoyed it last year. In one of the plays, it rained, no one left, and they were getting wet. And so it was really a neat contribution to expansion of our program. So that's pretty much what's going on in Maple Valley over from last year through this year.
Okay, can you clip back to the high school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That right there?
Whoops. There you go.
So I just want to make sure everybody understands that was a partnership between the three cities, and Mayor Allison and Mark Hardo worked extremely hard to get that thing there, getting that annex in the city. Covington went down, spoke on it, down the legislator. Mayor Allison was very involved in that. So again, that shows our partnership right there, getting that thing going, because we had to annex that area. So good job to everybody involved in that project. Thank you. Okay, next up is an update on the interlocal agreement for joint project, public works, community development directors. Perfect.
Can you hear me okay?
That's it. And do you want questions during or after?
During is fine, but I will definitely keep this brief.
Yeah.
I know you guys have a lot to discuss tonight. So, good evening, council members. My name is Laura Philpott. I'm the Public Works Community Development Director for the City of Maple Valley. As the host city, I've been asked to provide the update for the interlocal agreement for both public works and community development. So I will start with our public works department. We also have, from Black Diamond, Seth Botcher, and from Covington, somewhere down there, Don Van Braun. We continue to work on things together, pull our resources, which is great. We look for opportunities to share equipment, and if we're looking at purchasing new equipment, we always talk to each other about how could we, you know, what are the needs in each city so we don't all go out and buy the same piece of equipment. We work together. We continue to use our partnership for our street sweeping contract. By combining the work and the scope, increasing the size of the contract, we get better prices, which is great for everybody. We bring our crews together in the summer to do crack sealing. Individually, our cities don't have a workforce large enough to run a crack seal crew. This is the tar they put down and the cracks on the asphalt to extend the length of the asphalt. And by putting our city forces together, the different crews were able to come up with a crew big enough to do that work. So we do that in all the cities, which is great. We combine our grant monies for recycling events. In fact, just Saturday, we held a joint residential recycling collection event with Maple Valley, Black Diamond, Covington residents. We had 882 vehicles dropping materials off for a total of 121,000 pounds of recycled materials, which is great. We also held a free film screening, the award-winning short film, Just Eat It, and that was sponsored by all three cities, so we appreciate that collaboration. And then we also have our community development department. We have Richard Hart back here from Covington, and Barbara Kincaid from Black Diamond, great partners as well. All three cities have been working hard over the last year to update comprehensive plans. Covington and Maple Valley have completed theirs recently adopted, and I know Black Diamond's working on getting theirs completed as well. Covington is continuing to provide plans examination services and building official services, and Maple Valley is continuing to provide building inspection services. Maple Valley truly appreciates this partnership that has been formed over the years. The collaboration of the departments and sharing of resources has worked out great, and I really applaud the councils for bringing that together and supporting that. So that's all I have.
Anybody got any quick questions? Questions? Thank you. Thanks, support. Thank you. Okay, next up on the agenda, King County Metro Transit Southeast City Van. We got somebody for that? King County Metro?
Yep.
Okay, come on up. And in case you missed it, there's a nice pretty van out there.
Yeah.
It says Duval. What?
It was up there first.
Oh, okay.
Hi, I'm Kathy Snow. I'm from Metro, and I am the Alternative Services Program Lead as of about mid-February. Trisha Barbicane is with me. She's the Community Van Product Lead, and some of you may have seen her in project presentations to individual council meetings over the winter. Before I get started, I do just want to encourage you, if you haven't already, pick up a two-pager about Metro's draft long-range plan. Some of you may know that it's out for public comment now, and members of the long-range planning team are out in the county meeting with council, so wanted to bring that to your attention. So that's the big picture, the long-term. What Trisha and I are here to talk about today is something that's just
right in front of us and something we would like to accomplish in the next few months.
I forgot to ask you, do you want questions during or after?
During is fine.
Okay.
Thank you for asking. So we're here specifically to provide an update on a community van product, which is one of the suite of products that Metro is offering through its alternative services program. And that program, has been discussed with you at individual council presentations back in December with Black Diamond, back in January in Maple Valley, and on February 9th, Covington Council meeting. Since then, Trish and I have met with folks from your cities, particularly Barbara Kincaid with Black Diamond, Richard Hart and Bob Linscoff from Covington, Matt Torpy and Laura Philpott from Maple Valley, to kind of start getting into planning mode for Community Van in particular. And our goal tonight is to fill you in on the Community Van, what we think some next steps should be, what we think it might shape up to be for the three cities. So you have enough information to kind of give the go-ahead to start moving into implementation planning. So Alternative Services is a demonstration program. It was funded by the King County Council in the 2015-2016 biennium. As a two-year demonstration program, we anticipate we'll have funding for another 2 years for a total of a four-year demonstration program to kind of prove out these partnerships, prove out these products, prove out the concept. And what the goal is to bring mobility services to parts of King County where standard big bus fixed route transit just doesn't make sense, either because of land use or density or other issues in the community. Some of the hallmarks of the Alternative Services Program is very much a community-based process. We work in partnership with communities, we figure out where the needs are, and collaboratively come up with a set of solutions, not necessarily just one solution, but a set of solutions to meet the need. The Southeast King County Project started with community engagement back about a year ago. And at the end of March last year was the first working group meeting, and the working group was comprised of staff from the cities as well as community members. A lot of community engagement over the next number of months, including onboard conversations with riders on our bus routes that run down here, face-to-face conversations with other community groups, couple of online surveys, public meetings. So basically the team was out in the community face-to-face with survey opportunities for a really sort of concentrated time last year, April, May, June. What we learned from that outreach is that generally there's pretty good satisfaction with the existing transit service, but there are some gaps, particularly lack of evening and weekend service. Commuters are particularly frustrated with lack of parking facilities. Not a lot of transit use between Enumclaw and Black Diamond. And in the DART routes, where there's a flexible service area, there's not actually very many route deviations happening through that flexible service area. There was some interest expressed for connections in Buckley. We did not take that into the scope of this project since that's not in King County. And the other topic that was pulled out of that community outreach is that reliability could be improved. So the solution set that the working team came up with to address these needs are here. The team came up with, and we are acting on, some fixed route transit service changes. And those changes are intended to address the lack of evening service and reliability issues. In September of 2015, with our service change, we added an evening trip on the 186. In this last service change, March service change, we improved the frequency on the 915. We're targeting the next service change in March to add another evening trip on the 143. So those ideas are in planning if they haven't been done already. Another solution is the Emergency Ride Home Program. And that is a program that we are already working with Mercer Island and Redmond on is to provide folks that have an ORCA card and use our transit services with the knowledge and the assurance that if they get stuck at a transit center after the last trip has left, they've got a way to get home. So that's there to address the lack of union service and reliability. Ride-sharing promotion for commuters, that will help our the issue around the lack of parking at the park-and-rides. There is a number of van pools down here, and that's great, but we can do even more to encourage more ride-sharing. So we have some promotional ideas that we're going to be acting on over the next few months to do that. And finally, what we're here to talk about tonight is the community van program. And we see that program as addressing the lack of evening and weekend service, and particularly addressing some non-commute local mobility needs, not necessarily connecting in with our transit routes, but getting folks around where they need to go in the community. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tricia so she can talk with you in depth about community vans.
Great. Thanks, Kathy. Again, I'm Tricia Barbicane, and I spoke to many of you already. And I'm going to be talking about, first, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm going to be talking about the community van program, specifically the three elements, which is the van.
Can you pull your mic a little closer to
you? Oh, sure.
Thank you.
Is that okay? Is that a little bit better?
Yep, thank you.
So specifically, I'm going to be talking about the van, the community hub, and the transportation coordinator. So let's first talk about the service. So the service is brought to you by, or the community, by Metro and partnering cities yourselves. The service provides pre-scheduled non-commute trips, group trips to popular destinations to meet the local need for travel that may not be supported by fixed route, the bus. Vans are driven by King County screened and approved volunteer drivers, and the volunteer drivers will be recruited from the community. Trips are promoted through a website, and riders request to join group trips through the transportation coordinator or through the volunteer driver. Riders have picked up a prearranged stop, and they pay a Metro fare, and drivers ride for free. Let's talk a little bit about the community hub. It's another element. What that is a one-stop shop for the community members to find out about transportation options that are provided in their community. So the transportation hub can be web-based or it can be on-site kiosks. And this information can be provided by the transportation coordinator during weekly events or by the telephone. Hub riders can also find information about community van trips here. It's also another way for the public to connect with one another to share the ride to common destinations. A physical hub provides accessible meeting places for participants to learn about the community van and other transportation options in the community, and also talk with the transportation coordinator about group trips and how to set that up. Let's talk about the transportation coordinator primary roles. So the primary roles for the transportation coordinator is to promote the transportation services in the area, promote and organize the community van trips and maintenance of the vans, recruit volunteer drivers from the community, maintain the physical maintain the information at the physical community hubs, and to prepare program reports for the King County Metro and the city so to better assist us in deciding or figuring out what is successful, if the program is successful. So this table talks a bit about what information or what the county will provide in services and what we'll be asking the cities to provide. So looking at the community hub, we see that Metro will provide the physical kiosks and the marking materials. Now on the website, the cyber part of it, we'll also program the content on county pages and provide links to partnering organizations in the city. And we ask that the cities would provide physical locations for the kiosks and to promote the program via existing communication channels. For instance, an existing communication channel might be, you may have a quarterly newsletter that you send out to residents anyway. We can then, at that point, put some information about the transportation options available here. So looking at the community van aspect, King County Metro will provide the van, the fuel, the maintenance, the insurance, and a secure key system, or key securement system, which could be key boxes, for example. Mm-hmm. And we'll also do the driver screening and approval. We ask that the cities would provide parking spaces for the van and the key securement system, and define criteria for group trips and prioritize that. For the transportation coordinator, King County will provide the training on the services and the support model and funding up to a half-time employee, staff oversight for promotion and implementation of products and services. We ask that the partnering cities provide advice on community needs, the payroll, the processing, a workstation, and staff oversight for administrative and local community needs and engagement. Okay, I'm going to switch gears a little bit here, and I want to talk a little bit about what we've already done in Duval. That we've already launched Community Van in Duval, soft launch, just about a week and a half ago at the Earth Day celebration. So what we have already done is the vans are ready to be deployed. The community transportation coordinator has been hired, and that person was a Duval City employee who worked part-time. So what they ended up doing, which was a really nice result, is that they added more hours to her workload, and now she supports our program, so she's closer to a full-time employee. The transportation hubs are complete. That means that we have materials in the kiosks, and they have a number of kiosks. They have one in the library, one in their library, and one at their city hall, and one at their visitors area. And the cyber, the website, is also up and running. We've continued with our promotions and recruiting drivers and conversations with the community. So I mentioned that we were at the Earth Day celebration. We have a list of other events that we will be attending with the community transportation coordinator to help promote the service. And we're also strengthening our relationships with organizations in Duval. For instance, we've built some relationships with church organizations, also Acres of Diamonds, which is a nonprofit that supports women who are in transition homes, housing, and support for the homeless women and their children. So Kathy already talked a little bit about the Southeast King County Working Group Committee that we've been working with for about a year. And this slide talks a bit about what we've put together and our thoughts on how we might be delivering the program. So it was recommended that we would have a single agreement that would establish the partnership between King County and the Tri-Cities. We thought that two vehicles in a city plus a spare would be a good number to start with. And there would be at least one community hub in each city, physical one, and that the city of Covington was in a better position to have provide a working space for the transportation coordinator. But the transportation coordinator would be accountable to an advisory group or committee of representatives that from three cities and King County Metro, and that the program would launch in early 2017. And this next step, I'm going to pass over to Kathy. Do you have any questions at the moment?
Okay. Thanks, Tricia. So
So as I mentioned earlier, our goal this evening is to provide information. Our thinking has progressed a bit since the last appearances at your city council meetings. Answer any questions and just give you food for thought so you can have discussions amongst yourselves and with your staff and give us the thumbs up to start partnering with you to kick off detailed implementation planning. What does it really mean to find parking spaces for two vans in each city? And also start drafting that partnership agreement. We'd also like to work with staff to see if there might be some promotional activity for community van that we can plan as early as for some of your summer events to just start getting the word out. I know in Duval, the team worked almost a full year before the launch to just really get engaged with the community, talk it up, get interest, and that's proving to be time well spent. There's a lot of enthusiasm up there. So that's our presentation. If you have questions, our contact information is in the handout. Feel free to reach out, phone or email. I'm happy to, would love to talk with you about next steps on this.
Awesome. Any questions for them?
Yeah.
What do you envision as the demographic that is going to be the largest user of this service? Do you have anything at this point from Duval? I mean, obviously, soft launch, but have they, targeted a particular demographic or group that they're looking at and going, okay, these are the people that need this service, and here's how we reach out to them?
I'm going to ask Tricia to respond to that. Sure. From two perspectives, just her knowledge and involvement with the Duval project, but also engagement with the working group with the Southeastern County folks here, because each community might have slightly different needs and have slightly different target populations.
Thank you. That's a really great question. So for Duval, just similar to how we did with Southeastern County, there was a survey, and we received responses from the survey, so that helped us direct. But also, the information and the working with the representatives of the city also helped us decide, figure out together what would be the first trips. For instance, they are the first three trips that they will be doing is a trip to the senior center in Carnation, because there is no senior center in Duval. Shopping in Monroe, because that is a larger shopping district and outlet center there. And also the food bank. So to answer your question about what demographics, I think across the board, it would be very, very helpful to low-income, transit-dependent seniors and younger youth people who don't have a car. So I think that's a nice mix of what trips they decided to do. And in that survey, we asked people specifically, where would you want to go? Where would you be coming from? And we do further, for instance, at the events and the promotion, we'll collect that information further. And also, this is what's so wonderful about the steering committee is we're also getting information from you because this is your program. So if you already have ideas on where the trips should go or can even connect us with other organizations that may need transportation that they know that their clients aren't getting very easily, we can work with that as well.
Yeah, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It was very informative. Next up on the agenda is homelessness issues in Southeast King County.
Well, Auburn, so that would be...
Good evening. I'm Victoria Thrum. I'm personnel and the senior human services planner for the city of Covington.
I'm Lila Henderson, the Maple Valley Food Bank executive director that serves all three of your cities.
I'm Cheryl Hanson, the director of the
So anyway, I'm still the director of the Black Diamond Community Center.
Mark Bursley, director of the Maple Valley Community Center.
I was asked to come and talk, bring this panel about the issues of homelessness, and I want to start with like a spotlight on homelessness, the myth. So I want to see if you can spot a myth in one of these statements. First of all, people who are homeless don't want you to talk to them. Secondly, people in our region are homeless because of just one thing, and it's drugs. And lastly, people who are homeless flock to Seattle because we give out free stuff and it's easy for them to find. You're right, Margaret. Not one of those is true. People who are homeless are invisible. We avoid them, looking them in the eye, and we don't want to walk too close to them. Yes, drugs and alcohol are a part of the chronic homelessness, but I can tell you the fastest population is our families who are homeless. And whether they struggle with drugs and alcohol, it doesn't matter if they're homeless or are housed. And people are not moving here because they get it's easier to be homeless or to navigate the shelter rules. There's no city or climate where it's easy to be homeless. This past March, our city manager, Regan Boley, and council member, Marla Moon, we attended the Convening of Cities Forum for King County, and we learned how other cities are addressing the homelessness issues. And they had a number of different cities throughout the state of Washington, even Portland, that presented different programs from task forces to outreach teams that went into the encampment to a safe parking program. So all of those promising practices we heard, and it was starting conversations and how we could put those approaches into place. At that time, Regan believed that this was an appropriate event to talk at as a tri-city level to identify the next steps to do our part to build on this work. So I want to start with just really giving you a few brief statistics, and then I'm going to let our panel share. Most of you know the Committee to End Homelessness, which is now called All Home for King County, and in 2016 they did their annual one-night count. And this is all the unsheltered people in a selected area of King County. And I will tell you, there are many cities that don't do that. I know Maple Valley and Black Diamond and Covington, we aren't part of that one-night count. So it's very undercounted. There were 4,505 people that were homeless. Now, that doesn't include the people who were in shelters. That is just on the streets, and the majority of them were living in vehicles. Homeless youth. Here are some statistics for the school district. Identified in the Tahoma School District, 57 kids are identified as homeless. Enumclaw, 81. Kent School District, 501. And those kids are often doubled up with somebody. They're couch surfing families that just don't have their own home. And the kids don't know where they're going to be night to night. One of the agencies that the City of Covington Human Service funds is the Auburn Youth Resources, and it's for the Street Outreach Program. Pardon my voice because I've got allergies, so I hope that you can make sense of this. Last year, they reported in that they served 81 homeless teens in Covington, and that's unduplicated. That means they can only count them once, even though they might serve them many, multiple times, to provide hygiene packs and food, and we also have supplies here if they come to City Hall. So those are some things to get you aware of, and now I'm going to ask Cheryl to share her experience on day-to-day working.
Thank you, everybody. I think one of the things that she might not have said is in the one-night count in King County, not only were we not included, that means we're not counted. And the increase was 19%. That's a lot. The increase, yes.
So how do we get included in this?
I'm going to tell you.
Okay, good.
In his year count.
And do you want questions during or after?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay, good.
Whatever. It's probably better if you just give them to me one at a time, because then they'll be too long. I'm going to tell you what happened with Pierce County that just had their one-night count, up 23%. What does that do for Black Diamond, Maple Valley, and Covington? They're going to come here. We're going to have more homeless. You all know it's here. There's no way to avoid that. It's here. So what do we do about it? Okay, I'm going to tell you. I want a road trip with Reagan Dunn, all of our council people, and Dal Constantine. I want to take them to my jungle. I have the van, and I got the gas. If people see on TV about the I-5 corridor and that jungle, they ought to see what we have in a place called the Gorge. It should not be living there. People should not be living there. So, Mr. Mayor, all of your influence, all of you, we need recognition in Southeast King County. We don't get the percentage of the money. We don't get the recognition. They have programs, one's called the Navigator. I'd never heard of it. United Way said they had it going on, never came out here to us. So we need you to be our voice. One road trip from all those council people, not you. Well, you can come. I don't have a van that big. But we'll get one of the Metro vans, and then you can all come with me. But from our county people that are running for office and that we vote in, they need to get us the money that we have due coming for our homeless, our low income, and our no income. And we're talking about the homeless. Let me tell you about families in Black Diamond. I have 8 or 9 now that are one paycheck, 1 month away from being homeless. If we already have a homeless problem out here, why do we want to not help make it better? In the Cedarburg Trailer Park, 87 units, 46 of my clients, 10 are seniors. They are soon to be out if we don't help them. My fundraisers are now, my next one is coming up in June, it's a pig roast, it's great. It's to help families to pay their rent. Now people will say to me and they call and they say, we're helping create the problem because we're enabling them. Let me tell you, I have one family, 3 kids, 1 sick child that spends 6 weeks every day going to Harborview. Do you know what that does to any of our budgets? It chunks us out. Maple Valley has those problems, so I can address that. Covington has those problems. We got to help these people. We don't need more homeless. My school district is doing all that they can, and that my school district happens to be Enumclaw, but Tahoma has it also. We need to help these people so that they don't become homeless. We had, last year, I begged you guys about vouchers for hotels. Luckily, the Salvation helped me out. There's a good reason for that, because a lot of ours are parents. And if parents are on the streets, they can't get into Vine Maple Place. And if they're not domestic violence victims, where do they go? They go to their cars, and that's where they live. Or they move up to the Gorge and live in 2 cars connected together with a tarp. Man, that is not living. That is not living. And I've been out here now, working out here for 5 years, and it isn't getting better, folks. And I'll tell you what, we need the money that is available. So 6 or 7 weeks ago, a lot of you went to a meeting where Dal Constantine was. He had one of his advisors there, Mr. Yang, Sung Yang, who said there was going to be money, vouchers and money, money coming. I'll tell you, I contact that office every single week, haven't heard a word. So a couple of weeks ago, Dal Constantine was talking in his month of the month or State of the Union, the King County Union, whatever, some meeting, and they talked again about this money that's coming. Mm-hmm. Is it an RFP? How are we going to get it? Let me tell you what's going to happen. The city of Seattle, with 90 of their agencies, will get every penny. Maple Valley won't. Black Diamond won't. Covington won't. Unless all of you call them up right now and say, where the heck is that money? Is it an RFP? I have program people that want to apply. If it's not about an RFP, request for proposal, where is it? How do we get that money? Invite Reagan Dunn and find out where that money is. Is it special program? I want to know before Seattle gets it, because you know what? Their jungle is on TV. Mine is not. But 19% of those homeless people were counted in the Seattle area. I think maybe they came out a little bit to Auburn and Kent. They don't have a clue what's going out here for all of us. And it hurts all of us. I run a daycare also. And I have a family now. And we talk to that child that comes in. And Councilman Weber has a child there too. I'm not mentioning any names. We have a child that comes in at 6 in the morning. And we cuddle and we clean her up. And we feed her so that she can go to our elementary school. Because her parents are working two jobs. That little girl comes back to us at our daycare till 7 o'clock. We feed her. Why are we doing that to our kids? We don't need to. We need the money that the city of Seattle is getting. And I'm not mad about the city. All I'm saying is, we three cities, all of you, all of us, deserve and need the money that this whole county has. Now, Mr. Mayor, anybody have questions?
Thank you, Cheryl.
And I have here, you want to put it in your bulletin board or whatever, Mr. Sung's address and phone number. Oh, his name's Sung Yang, Mr. Yang. Y-A-N. Because they need to know that we've been trying. It's not like I'm not trying to get this money. I'd go pick it up. But more importantly, I want them to come out here and pay us a visit. They think, honestly, I think that some of them think that we're part of Pierce County. And even if they think we're part of Pierce, then the 23% up from that their percentage is up, they should be even more ashamed. But we need to ask for this money. Not even ask. We need to demand that we get our share out here. Because we're a good, prosperous, we care about our people, our schools. Look at your high school. Look at all the good things we're doing. But we've got these other kids that should not have to get cleaned up at a daycare go to school because their parents have to have two jobs and they're living in their car. A little passionate. What it is. Yes, I know. You hate to even park when you're in the parking lot, don't you? Still does, because you know they get so worked up. Anyway, questions?
Mark, do you any questions for her before we go to Mark? Or?
Mark, my partner, he just gets tired of hearing me yabber all the time.
Okay. So,
he'll come up here now. He'll come. Yeah.
Mark? Counselor Moon has a question, and then I have a comment.
This question is actually for Victoria.
Okay.
the posters that we got at that meeting, have we checked into getting more of those posters? Do you want me to do that?
Sure.
Okay, because I think every council member, and we have one here in City Hall too, because it's just full of statistics from King County and really talks about many of the myths that simply aren't true.
So can I make a recommendation really quick? Is maybe it's time that a coalition of us go down and meet with Executive Constantine and Councilor Dunn downtown.
I can use my van and my gas money.
So, so SDA is working on it big time, isn't it?
Yeah, SDA is working on it. And
is SDA working? Bill's on the executive board of directors.
It's Best Start for Kids Money.
Yeah.
And there are two SDA members on that board.
So have you guys brought it up yet about bringing some of this? I mean, we've talked about it a couple times.
It's something that we talk about constantly on SDA, yes.
Right.
So, but it's like the two of you and a couple of the council members from each city and then went down there and had meetings with Executive Constantine, Reagan, Dunn. You know, it's just like when we go to Olympia, we're lobbying for things down there in Olympia. Maybe we can start heading to Seattle a little bit every once in a while. It'd be great if the two of you, since you're on SDA, I don't know if you guys want to spearhead it. I'm not going to put assignments on you, but you guys get together and kind of partner, and you guys, all three cities can talk about their next council meetings to come up with a goal, move forward on this. Okay, yeah. Councillor Hargo?
Another place we could put some attention is the Best Start for Kids initiative, because Nancy Backus, who's the current president of Sound Cities Associations, is serving on that advisory board. I know I'm participating in the round table, which is going to be an opportunity for elected officials to continue to provide input but not be involved in the decision-making process that Nancy will be involved in at the advisory board level. And then the first monies into the Best Start for Kids initiative, the monies coming in, will be utilized for homeless families and I should say on the prevention end, to keep them from getting into the homeless situation.
Right.
And the model they're using is the Gates program that was used for domestic violence families, which allows much more flexibility in how the funds are used, instead of saying can only be used for them. And that has proven to be highly, highly successful in the 90% and above percentile for success afterwards. So I think anything we can do to continue to provide input into that initiative process about what we need in terms of getting on to the prevention side of this, like you said, Cheryl, because you're 100% right. And we need to work hard on this.
I can address the Best Starts for Kids issue. They are actually having a forum at Greater Maple Valley Community Center next Monday night at 6:30, precisely to get your input. And I would encourage as many of you that can be there to be there, because, as Cheryl said, a lot of this money is going to Seattle. The vast majority is going to Seattle. Now, in terms of what I'm seeing at the Greater Maple Valley Community Center in terms of homelessness, statistics are great. Here are some actuals. In the last 2 weeks, I have had at least 3 different encounters with homeless population. One is a guy named Jeremy, chronic substance abuser. He will be homeless forever. He comes into our place, has some coffee, dries out. We say great, and he moves on. We've also got a high school kid that came through in this past week. Basically, a conflict with the family at home. He's out. He's sleeping on the back porch of the historical society. We give him some food. We send him the right direction. We have no right to hang on to him. We can work with a group called Friends of Youth and hopefully get him reunited with the family. And then yesterday we had a woman with 2 kids swing by just looking for food. And fortunately, Lila from the food bank sets us up with some essentially care packages that will tide them over till we get them over to the food bank. Now, there is a ton of money going to the homeless issue, whether it's through King County's Committee on Homelessness, whether it's through Best Starts for Kids, whether it's through United Way's new emphasis on homelessness. But there's a cost to that. Cheryl and I are going to lose a combined $50,000 in United Way funding beginning July 1st, because United Way has changed some of their priorities from what we're running to the homeless situation. So it's great that we can provide all the services, but that money is coming from other places. Now, I am a huge fan of what the congressman said earlier in terms of prevention. In many ways, if we are taking those steps before they get homeless, then we're saving a whole lot of money. What I'm talking about are things as simple as drug, alcohol, and mental health services for high school kids. Meet their problems before they drop out. Adult role models, programs, whether it's your program, my program, what we're doing in the schools, giving them somebody that they can look up to and provide guidance. Support for foster kids, huge, huge situation. A significant portion of foster kids end up homeless, as the congressman said. Stable families, really, that's what we got to support. And if we can do that, we can prevent homelessness on the front end, whole lot cheaper, whole lot more effective, and my 30 years experience in the human services field says that's really the way to go. And we're running late, so I'm going to go
So what I'm seeing at the food bank, I mean, echoing everything that they've already said and their scenarios, and I mean, that's what I see every single day. Statistically wise, we have about 120 households that are homeless, and of that, there's 200 individuals in those homeless households. So there's a lot of individuals and then families. That's only counting the people that we consider homeless. That means they are living in their car or they're living on the trails. It's counting some of the couch surfers, but there are a lot of them that they're living at an address or they give us an address, so we don't consider them homeless because we don't know about it. They're there, they're a big population. So that's not in that 120 households. Also, these people that are living in, there's a big acreage out here and they've got three or four trailers that are all out there with no water, no electricity. Those are really considered homeless. They're just a different homeless camp than we have in Seattle, but that's what we have out here on the back roads. And that's not always counted in my 120 either. So I think it's bigger than we know out here. You asked about the one-night count. That, I think, is through United Way, isn't it? But to get into it, we looked at it quite a few years, about 4 years ago. It is in Federal Way. We looked into doing it out here. And there are some obstacles to doing it because there's some rules. You can't go on trails. You can't go certain places. And they didn't know if they could get the numbers by coming out here, which could be very discouraging to us.
Why can't they go on trails? I mean,
it's a safety issue.
Okay. Because most of them in Maple Valley are on the trails.
It's in the middle of the night you're doing it.
Yeah, I understand.
I think that's their rule.
Okay.
It's not our rule.
It's dark,
mm-hmm. Middle of the night. It's the coldest night of the year. That's the rules of this group. Because we looked at trying to get it out here. Mm-hmm. And maybe we should relook at it. The goal is to look at the whole county and know that that's happening out here. Nobody's discounting that it's happening, but it does put a truer number to it if we can get it out here. Kind of the things that I came up with, I was asked what kind of services are do I hear the homeless needing. I hear that they need showers, laundry facilities, mental health services, drug addiction issues, transportation. Love the metro thing we heard earlier. Absolutely, mm-hmm. Transportation is way up on the list. Access to phones, clothing bank. We have no clothing bank out here. We got a tent or is a cloth.
We
have clothing at Black Diamond.
Yeah. And blankets and sheets and towels.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I've got to. Do you do the big thing?
Yeah.
Last time I sent them up there, you didn't have
them. Yeah.
Got to close. Although I will be asked this to you. And housing, low income housing. Affordable housing is great. Love it. But low income housing is not very much out here. So that's really an answer. And we do a lot of the prevention. We spend about $80,000 on prevention, with utilities and rent assistance, trying to keep people in their home and electricity on. But it could be a lot more. I mean, we really need to. I think by Maple Place does a really good job. I partner with them a lot, trying to keep that going for a lot longer.
Okay.
Hey,
Sharon, are you ready? We're going to show a video that was part of the Convening of Cities of Homelessness, and it shows you what they would consider themselves ordinary people, do extraordinary work. That means any one of you sitting here or in the chairs out there can make a difference. So this will give you some idea of what you can do. Ready?
It can be very scary, it can be very uncomfortable, but if you can stop and think about the person behind the struggle and behind the suffering, behind that situation, it becomes a lot less scary and you open yourself up to this alternative view.
In the city of Seattle, there's a lot of places that the homeless community goes so that they're not seen, because they're demoralized and because people don't treat them as they're human.
And if there's a tendency to look away from people who are homeless, people just tell me that they can go through an entire day without a single person acknowledging that they even exist. And so when we take the time to just stop and say hello, there's so much power in that.
I got a letter on my listserv, Ballard Mom, that there was going to be a pet encampment coming to Ballard. And the writer was very concerned that it would bring crime and sort of vagrants and undesirables into the neighborhood. And I reacted because I know that just because you're homeless doesn't mean that you are an undesirable person. And I was like, I want to feed these people. So when I wrote back to Molly in the email, let's fight some fear and hate with some love and burritos.
Some love and some burritos.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time for me in my freshman year of college, seeing all the stuff on the streets, I was seeing the homeless people and just the need, that I wasn't really doing anything about it. And what I found is that the transition between doing nothing and doing something really isn't that hard. This year we're giving away sleeping bags and winter care packages to every homeless person on the street. And so if we can do our part to give every single person warmth for the winter, that would mean a lot to the community.
I'm a mortgage loan officer, so ironically, my passion during the day is that I call more land, helping people get into homes, and my passion at night is more love, also helping people get into homes. Families are a tough one. People forget that there's children out there, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 2-year-olds. I went into it knowing that my purpose was to help change people's lives, that's what I believed. But what I didn't know, how much they were going to change mine.
You know, at the end of the day, homelessness is really everyone's problem, and it's also everyone's opportunity. It doesn't matter if you're young or old, if you're rich or poor, every one of us have an opportunity just to make some difference to someone in this world. And I think if we're just faithful to those little opportunities we have, it'll go a long way to making our community a better place.
What if your brother was homeless, or your mom, or your grandma, or, you know, anyone that you know was homeless? Because that's who homeless people are. They're somebody's grandma, they're somebody's brother, and someone's baby out there. And it's hard for me to look away knowing that.
So this is my father, and he has been homeless my entire life. For me, when I look at some of these homeless people, and interact and engage and have my relationships with them, I'm reminded they have the daughters and they have the sons. And maybe, even though I can't be that part in my father's life, maybe I can be a small part of that in theirs.
I just wanted you to know that at the end of this forum, we were broken into each city. So the three of us as our city sat together and decided through the day all the programs that we heard, which ones did we think were doable for the city of Covington or the Tri-City. And one thing that stood out to me was the safe parking program. And I won't go into detail, but it's basically because so many people of homeless are living in their car, there's no place to park. How many places do you go and there's signs that say no 24-hour parking? Now, we've been fortunate here. The library and Walmart have allowed several people. But what the city of Kirkland did, it was the Church United Methodist, and they had opened their parking lot for cars, people living in their cars, so they would have a safe place. And I thought that was really something. Our faith-based community is so connected here, that's something that maybe we could address with them. And the church had volunteers that would open the church in the morning. People could come in and they could shower, they could use the kitchen to cook, because a lot of them are working. They're working poor. And they would open it at night so they could use the kitchen to do dinner. So it's just one idea. These are others. And I know Lila addressed the great need for a day center. Federal Way just opened the very first day center in South King County. And it has showers, it has washer and dryer, it has a little computer set up. It has mailboxes. Homeless don't have an address. So that's really just launched, very successful. Maybe it's something that you could consider. Because I know Lila's called me before, and we have, she's had people that needed to go to a job interview and needed a place to shower. So our hope today is that you'll take this back, discuss, come up with a plan, set a goal, either to work collaboratively or individually, but to strengthen the response of homelessness. But please, don't just go away and do nothing.
Okay, so the three of us up here, you know, we're going to make sure we support this. We need to get a coalition to go down there and talk to them soon.
Yes.
So at our next council meetings, probably need to get this on our agendas so we can start talking about this. Because we'll need to get council consensus first to move down there, at least for two of the cities, and then start this coalition, get down there. And it sounds like we got to move pretty, I don't like moving quick in government, but on this one we might need to move a little quicker, especially if we want anything from Best Starts from Kids, right? Yes.
Mayor Kelly, before we move on to the next topic and in connection with this homeless issue, we weren't able to engage in any discussion, per se, about the Metro van, mm-hmm. and it would seem to me there's a strong connection here, and I know each of our cities had an opportunity to have the presentation done at a council meeting, but what's the feeling of those? I don't want to leave here tonight not having some kind of feeling about what the other council, what's your reaction to this opportunity? I mean, we can all leave here and never talk about this again till next year, and nothing's going to happen in between. And I think Metro wants to hear from us, and if their preliminary thinking is talking about a joint project, I'd just like to have even 5 minutes to see where we'd like to go with it.
I'm active at Black Diamond Community Center, and we've talked about this a lot. And I think we just need to get a group together to go down and talk to Dow Constantine and Reagan Dunn and talk about where we get the homeless money. But I don't think there's anybody, any one of us in our cities that aren't concerned about the homelessness, because...
Well, I'm more concerned about this community van, Carol, and how we can... I mean,
use it for the homeless?
Well, I see this as being a first step for a lot of things, but there's just, I don't want to leave here tonight thinking... Well, how does Black Diamond feel about it? How does Maple Valley feel about it? I don't know how you reacted after you had your individual presentation. I'm not even sure how our council wants to proceed. But
well, I know for a fact that two people on my council work at the community center and are totally involved with trying to help out our community. So I don't know about the other communities.
Back in December when the presentation was made, I think we had pretty much consensus that we thought that having these vans would be a real asset to our three communities. But the issue has not been raised in our city council since January. So I can't tell you how we feel today as a Black Diamond City Council, but I can tell you for myself that I think that would be a terrific asset to all three of our communities. It's something that we need that will support our citizens, and it's something that we can do for the betterment of our communities.
Yes. Pepper?
I heard the ladies that were speaking, and I think it was Kathy Snow or it might have been Tricia, that they talked about one of the first things they did was survey their community. So maybe that might be a starting point.
That's already happened.
They surveyed.
That's already been done.
Yeah.
Are we already surveyed?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have results from that.
Okay.
Do we have results?
Yeah, they were posted.
Yeah.
So David, I know in Maple Valley we had a presentation too, and we were concerned a little bit about parking and a little bit of staff support, because our staff's extremely lean. Can you kind of give us a quick Reader's Digest?
Well, if I recall, there was a brief discussion after we had the presentation, and the direction was staff would work with the staff of the other two cities to then come up with summary like we had today.
Okay.
And then that would lead to a discussion of an interlocal agreement with King County Metro. And I think in the next 2 months there was going to be information brought back to each individual council to then come have consensus on kind of like what are they looking for in this joint agreement. We do know just from their passion and their presentation at our city council, I'm sure it's your other two city councilors, and their presentation today, that King County heard the voices of Southeast King County on the woeful access to public transit on so many fronts. And this is one of their ways saying, well, we really can't do much on the fixed base. In fact, we're going to alter a few of those, expand one line, decrease the other. But what we heard talking from the citizens when they had their town, when they held their public meetings at the community center in Maple Valley and the other cities, was you have a there, the people are clamoring for mobility within the three cities, and it's all generations, and their idea to meet that demand is this alternative van. I think a few of us weren't expecting a seven van fleet, but you start with something and see if it can work. It's a pilot program. I think one of the issues I think was voiced with our staff is what happens when the funding from King County Metro goes away, and we have to have long talks about that with them, because there is this practice of starting something from larger bureaucracies to cities, and then it's, well, if you want, we're pulling our funding out. If you want it, you're going to have to fund it, and then it becomes a political issue for you folks. And so I think we just need to be cautious on that front. But
so it sounds like in the next 2 months,
we're
going to have something back, and I don't recover too much.
Let me, Richard Hart's been spearheading it for Covington, so I'll let him talk to that.
Thank you. Does this work, Sharon?
Nice. Turn it on.
No, we can hear you.
Yep. Oh, okay. Laura's not here. I don't see Barb either, but the three of us have been working with Tricia and Kathy felt like the next approach and step was for each of us to come back to the city council with a short presentation
and to sort of get that concurrence and consensus from you that you support this and want us to move ahead. King County sort of wanted that nod before they spent the time to put together this interlocal agreement and bring back to you to look at. And at that point in time, we'd have a little more discussions of how we would address these three or four needs that we have for implementation. So if that's okay with the three councils that are here tonight, I'll pass that on to Laura and to Barb, and then shortly we'll bring back some information to you and get that head nod from each of your councils. Then we can tell King County to move ahead with putting together that interlocal agreement.
Okay, sounds like a plan. So we got direction of staff on this. Come up with something in the next couple months. Councilor Hart, thank you very much for bringing this back up to the front there. Thank you.
I got uneasy when I saw our name listed there several times.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much for bringing that back up. Second thing, really quick.
Mayor Kelly, and I just want to thank you for taking this up. And it's not just about, if we use the word homeless, it's about stabilizing families. It's about these poor, the working poor, the pockets of poverty that we have. So, I mean, it's real easy to put them in and say homeless, and then there are others, but for our kiddos, they have families, but they're living poor out here. So I thank you for going down to see them.
Yep, so let's get the group going down there hopefully in the next month or so. Mark, can you keep the cattle prod going, at least with me, and remind me to bring it up to the Maple Valley Council every once in a while? A lot of two. So let's get this going. Thank you. Anything else on this topic?
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Parks Recreation Program Partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening. I'm Greg. I'm with the City of Maple Valley and joined by...
I'm Ethan Newton, the Parks Director for the City of Covington.
So a couple of updates. The first one is on recreation programming. If you recall, those of you that were here at last year's Tri-City Council meeting, a couple of things came out of that meeting. One was we wanted more collaboration and working together on city services and programs. And so a couple of things were instituted. One is we began to put each other's website links on our own website. And two, the recreation departments, Covington and Maple Valley, started collaborating a little bit more than they had in the past. And so advertising within our rec guides for each other. We also have some shared programming. And so some of the new things this year is we actually collaborated on our youth basketball league, looking at sort of youth, kids, kindergarten and up to the elementary ages. It was plenty of kids. Start getting to that upper elementary, middle school age, and things become a little bit more difficult to get enough kids. And so we've actually collaborated in finding some commonality in that both fifth and sixth grade girls and seventh and eighth grade boys were a little bit light. But between the two cities, we were able to actually put enough teams together to actually form a league. So we might have the first ever Maple Valley versus Covington basketball tournament in the future, but right now it's just getting kids out and giving them an opportunity to play. So we anticipate that this program will certainly continue to expand. Both of our recreation services and programs are expanding within our communities as their populations continue to grow. And certainly we think there's great opportunity in the future to do more together.
I'll be providing the update to the Tri-City Regional Trails development that we've been, the cities have been talking about for the past several years. Being a regional project, the development of these trails is largely led by King County, but they coordinate with the city. There are three different trails that we kind of have going on in the area. The first is the Green Cedar Trail, which is a north-south trail corridor that will run from the Cedar Trail down to the Green River Trail corridor. And it's actually broken into two different segments. There's a north segment, which is about 3 miles long. Currently, it's a gravel path. It goes from Cedar River Trail to 272nd Street. And then there's a south segment, which would be the remaining 8 miles to the Cedar River Trail, or to the Green River Trail. To date, King County has budgeted over $9 million towards this project to begin design and support for future construction. Last year, they completed inventory work on the entire 11-mile corridor and began a public process, including stakeholder interviews and a workshop. This year, work slated includes negotiating a contract for engineering of the north segment and also exploring alternative design for the north segment as well. Next year, it's planned to complete a 30% design for the north segment and also get a contract to start designing the south segment as well. The second trail is the Covington Highlands Trail. Also known as the Jenkins Prairie Trail, which runs east-west between Maple Valley and through Covington to the Seuss Creek Trail. Last year, work was done to continue to identify potential property acquisitions for this trail. This year, Covington is working with King County to transfer the Cedar Creek Park property that Covington has to King County, and that will be an important segment of the trail in the future. Development of that trail doesn't really have a timeline at this point, but we're working on the acquisition pieces now. And lastly, the Seuss Creek Trail doesn't so much connect the three different cities, but it is on the western edge of Covington, and I learned that King County is actually starting to explore running that trail farther south towards the Green River Corridor too, so that would add some connectivity between the other trails as well. Again, no timeline on development for that trail, but they are making some acquisitions currently. So that's all I have for the update for the trails.
Do you want to introduce? I'm not sure if there's any questions. Maybe we'll start
back. Questions for on the trails?
Okay, no questions on the trails? Okay, thank you very much, guys, for your yearly report. Always looking forward to it.
Next up is...
Well, because we're talking parks at the same time, too, and I'd like Councilmember Deedy to comment about our gym, which is kind of part of our activities in Black Diamond, since we didn't have a representative.
Can you move a mic down there, please?
Okay, so a little bit about the Black Diamond Gym. So we do rent it out to pretty much Maple Valley and Covington basketball teams, and they fight... They call my husband up and try to get spaces to rent the gym. You know, it's just a one basketball court. So, like tonight there was, or sorry, last night there was three teams in there at different, you know, they coordinate now the basketball teams. So, just so you know that, you know, Black Diamond is supporting your area, kids. Your kids are coming over to Black Diamond to use our gym. And it's great. I mean, we love to see the gym being used, and it's Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays is pretty much our busy time for gyms. I think that each of your schools have so many kids in them. You know, the little guys, the 6-7-year-olds have to share a court, I guess. So they love to come over to our side and have a full court where they can practice on. So it's really quite fun to see all these guys over there. We also have drop-in volleyball, not to compete with Maple Valley on their drop-in Fridays, but we do drop-in volleyball on Wednesdays. We invite the communities to come out and play volleyball from 7 till whenever people are tired of playing. So you know, maybe we can talk a little bit about maybe being included on your local agreement with Covington and Maple Valley, and just get us out there so that all your citizens know that this gym is available for them to rent as well. Thank you.
Any questions? You have a question? Okay. Thank you very much. Always informative. Looking forward to next year. Hey, next up is Public Safety, Drug Abuse, and Regional Set Detective Program.
That's a free chief, though. Three or just one or?
I'm Chief DJ for the City of Valley Police Department. Absolutely. And my counterpart here, Jamie Kimmelinger from City of Black Diamond, and Annie McCurdy, the chief for the City of Covington. And we'll keep this short and sweet because we're looking at the time, and this didn't go the way I paid Sheriff Dave $20 to eat up all the time and get us all out of here quicker, but it didn't work out that way. So
really quick, do you want questions?
I'm calling his assistant to get my $20 back.
Do you want questions during the presentation?
Whatever you want.
Okay, and for the clerk's office, do we need to extend or anything at 9:30, or are we just skipping that tonight? Okay, thank you. At Maple Valley, we extend at 9:30, just so you know.
And just to pre-warn you, this will be the fastest 2-minute presentation, so if you got a question, you better get them ready. So my kids are already calling me, saying, Dad, where are you going? Are you at the poker game again, or are you lying tomorrow? another city meeting. So I'm going to need some backup on this when I get home. So just really to kind of put it in a nutshell, the three cities here you have out here in Southeast King County, really quality of life policing model that you have. You don't have, you know, the things you see in downtown Seattle, even some of the major cities that surround us, cities like Kent or Renton, where you've got the murders and the major crimes, rapes, robberies, serious stuff. We have our more petty crimes. I won't even go into the homelessness. You just heard about that. A lot of our resources, financial and manpower issues, are burned up by those folks who are retreading, shoplifting, other issues that tie up our time and energies. So the quality of life policing that we do, and we do it with police departments that, when you look at the averages out there on a King County-wide or statewide or even nationwide, we do a lot with very few. Most of our folks are cross-trained in different aspects of policing. You know, one of my patrol officers is also the traffic officer, is also the explorer advisor, you name it, jack of all trades. But the best part about this, though, is it doesn't matter whether you're in Black Diamond, Covington, the city of Maple Valley or the unincorporated. One cool thing about out here is everybody sticks together. You may have one officer on duty in one of the jurisdictions, or one is available and one's tied up. But when we do have those big crimes, you know, somebody, you know, shoplifts and shoves the person down, or they stole a car, that's when you really see Southeast King County pull together. You know, the sheriff's deputies, they drop what they're doing. The city officers, the city of Covington, I can't count how many times they're dropping what they're doing at Kohl's at a shoplift and flying down the Kent Kangley Road to back us up, and vice versa, or we're flying into Black Diamond. So you really have a cohesive, non-competitive police department atmosphere out here in Southeast King County, and that bodes well for all the cities out here because you get the best bang for your buck, and there's no... how's the best way to put it? Across the nation, a lot of police agencies are very fiefdom-oriented. It's all about us. And so that costs money. It costs a lot of, you know, a lot of jealousy and a lot of inefficiency. So that doesn't exist out here. So you're really getting your bang for your buck when it comes to policing. So some of the things that are facing us are the most obvious that are facing you as counselors is the upcoming and ever-increasing traffic congestion and traffic nightmares. As I drive down and drop my kid off at Pony Baseball in Black Diamond where they regularly practice, I pass by this big, giant, vacant lot, and I watch it slowly develop, and I just start counting the number of cars and look at the traffic we already have. And that is something that, you know, we united as a whole Southeast corridor have to get up with. In fact, Sheriff, they didn't get out of the room until I started, you know, poke, what about our highway? Because I know everybody sitting at this table is already working on those issues. So, but it doesn't matter who you are or what you are. If you're working out here, we all have the same goal, and that is to get these issues taken care of. So anybody we know, and when you've known somebody for doggone near 35 years, you poke them. You happen to be the congressman, you still poke them. And say, hey, he's a local, you know, guy, and he understands that. But that's an issue that we know we have to deal with. Our accident rates are upticking, injury accidents overall. Well, that makes sense because we have more traffic, more congestion, more impatience with our folks who are cutting those corners, driving on the shoulders, shooting up to the front of a line of a lane that suddenly stops. We all have those. So it's issues that each of the chiefs has to deal with, and how we allocate our manpower and deal with those traffic complaints. A lot of people think we have a dozen officers working at any given time, and we can afford to send a couple out on radar and traffic enforcement. And as we know, as we all chuckle about that, it doesn't work that way. So that is one of the biggest issues facing us coming up in the next several years here. I think the next biggest thing that's facing us equally is that quality of life policing is being challenged with more potential violent offenses and higher crime priorities because of what we're up against. And not to, first of all, anybody here from the city of Kent? Okay, good. Let me throw them under the bus. Just kidding. But you have the city of Kent, and you heard their numbers, like for the homeless counts, I think I heard, like 500 compared to, and the issues that go on in that community, they're huge. I mean, they do a lot of great things, but they are so pressured. And, you know, when I go down the Kent Kangley Road and I'm driving down to my dry cleaners, and I kind of go, you know, it's been years since I worked the Aurora Strip, but I think I still know what a hooker looks like, and I could swear those are hookers walking up and down the Kent Kangley Road just on the other side of the border in Kent. And sure enough, I talked to some of my street crimes unit guys, and they're going, oh, yeah, when'd you notice that? I'm like, they better not be crossing over 18 in Andy's backyard. And so it shows you the pressures that are mounting on us. You have the Kent Kangley coming in here as a major arterial highway. You've got 169 that goes right through Maple Valley, right into Jamie's backyard there. And then you got Highway 18. And all those are bringing in the pressures of the bigger cities and bringing the crime that goes with them, because we have a really nice, tranquil communities out here with people who have, well, things to steal, things to take, commercial districts that are rising and that have things to take. So that brings me up to the next point that I've talked to my city manager about, and the folks that will listen to our city is maybe even getting our Chamber of Commerce involved, where we have, when we increase our commercial base, we take on those commercial dictates. Whereas your Kroger Corporation, the Fred Meyers, the QFCs, the grocery stores, who, you know, have policies regarding shoplifting or their decision not to prosecute or what have you. Here in Covington, you have quite the commercial base as well. So when you have big corporate structures like that, and I spent most of my career in fraud and organized crime dealing with corporations like this, who say it's just too expensive, it's just too nominal, we'd rather just have you trespass them and move them on. Well, the problem is all those other commercial retail outlets you have in your cities are also suffering the ills because the word gets out in the street, and that Renton, Kent, Maple Valley pipeline that leads into our cities, guess who it's bringing? Hey, they're easy targets. Just go hit the Kohl's in Covington, hit the Fred Meyer in Maple Valley, going out to Black Diamond and hit this small store, that store, and they're targeting. And how do we know? Because our street crimes unit goes out and talks to them. What are you doing out here? Why are you driving a stolen car out here? Well, I stole it in Renton. I'm coming out here so I can steal, rape, and pillage your grocery stores because we understand they don't prosecute. So we need to help put a stop to that. And that, so that, I'm throwing this out here for the political side of it so you understand, but we're also going to go to our business community to put the business pressure on those corporations and say, you got to be a good business partner and you really have to help out. You can't just take pictures of them, tell us to trespass them, and then you selectively trespass them next time when they're doing some criminal act. But if they're not, they're buying from you, it's okay, they keep coming back to visit. So that's the biggest pressures upon us right now, and the size of Covington as it grows, it's phenomenal. I live right outside the city limits. I'm just about 10 days, 15 days, I'll officially be a Maple Valley resident. As the cities are growing and the bringing in more people, more commercial business, that's putting more pressures on your police departments. And make no mistake, I've already briefed my council, and I'm sure Andy and Jamie briefed hers. Cops aren't cheap. They're expensive, and so you want to be able to take every other avenue to make your community safe, incorporate your citizens, have them involved, because that's what public safety is all about. It's not about cops telling you what to do or not to do or taking people to jail. That's really cost prohibitive. We really got to get people on board to do the right things, and that's part of our piece as the police chiefs. It's not just to allocate the resources and manage our budgets. It's to really get people involved out there, and hopefully that's what you see us doing out here, unlike other parts of the county and police chiefs. We try to get out there in these communities and work together on a one-on-one basis and have no jurisdictional boundaries. To say, hey, we've got to take care of each other because your bad guy is my bad guy, is your bad guy, and we need to take care of it. So I think I'll just make sure I touched on the points. Oh, the Joint Street Crimes Unit. So what we had going is Maple Valley had two detectives who were our problem-solving detectives who handle our narcotics issues and street crimes and make sure the bad people stayed away from here. And they would venture out even outside our city limits and take down drug dealers, I mean major people, all the way to Federal Way, anywhere they'd had to go to put the word out that you were not to be anywhere near Maple Valley. Very successful. The sheriff's office had some unincorporated detectives and a detective supervisor, a sergeant, that were kind of floundering out there between the North and South Precinct. Andy had some interest because of issues going on here in Covington. Muckleshoot Reservation actually went forward to their tribal council and got one full-time detective paid for, and they'll be online here in the next couple months. And we decided to do kind of a pilot program this year is to put them all together, kind of in a quasi-task force. They work right out of here out of the Southeast Precinct. They work together. And instead of pushing these people back and forth, these bad guys, it's like, let's go focus on them. We all know who they are. One day they're hitting the reservation, and they push them off the reservation, and they get land over where? Maybe Auburn proper. And then they push them, and they end up over here. We're pushing them back and forth. Not anymore. There was a newscast on the other night where they showed our guys and teaming up with the folks over at Burien as well, and they hit a big place out in Pierce County, took down tons of heroin, cocaine, meth, tons of cash, guns. And that was Detective Jason Stanley from Maple Valley that was doing the interview on that. And it just showed you that's the kind of impact they're having. You say, well, it's Pierce County. No, that stuff is coming right over through Black Diamond, right in through our backyard. That's why they're helping work it. And then when we have more local stuff, those detectives from those other agencies are now looking at it saying, wow, we'll give you half a dozen detectives to go work on your big case since you're helping us out as well. So it's a quid pro quo. And it really steps up. It was the next notch of how we answer the pressures that are coming upon us from the likes of the border of Kent or other areas to protect it. It's not enough to stand at our gates, our proverbial gates of the city, and say, we can stop it here. We need to have a presence even farther out and push it out and whisper in their ears saying, the reason you're going to jail or prison is because you picked on the wrong part of the county. You picked on the wrong city. We are going to enforce the law. You're going to get the maximum penalties, and you will go to jail. And that works. It's very effective. So that's the pilot project we got going now, and so far, so good. It's working out really well. Any questions?
Any questions for the chief?
Well, I really just have a more of a comment. I think this is an extension of having, again, this venue with these three councils and mayors getting together. We've got ILA agreements for our inspectors. We have our police departments that work well together. Not that I have any personal experience whatsoever with that. No, I really don't. But no, I just appreciate everything that all of our police officers are doing, because that's a tough job. And thank you.
Yep. Marla?
Are a lot of the thefts related to drug addiction?
We just had a public safety oversight committee meeting. We're talking about this. A lot of the thefts, the homeless folks on the street, the drug addicts, they're coming. I mean, these folks, it's like you go to bed at night, and some of the homes in the neighborhoods have little mini cameras they have in their garages and whatever, and you see these guys on their little stolen bikes, and they come out, and it's like the bewitching hour, 2, 3, 4 in the morning when you're sound asleep, and they're just checking cars, and, you know, we'll take a police report in the morning, the day shift will come in, 20 cars in a neighborhood, back in a remote neighborhood got hit. Well, what dumbfounds me is that I get the copy in the morning and I look at all these cases, and then I get to listen to the HOA president say 20 cars of our cars got broken into. And it's the same thing in all our community. If you go, well, let me enlighten you. 20 cars didn't get broken into. Not a single car got broken into. In fact, we got this guy on tape. All they're doing is trying the door handles and successfully hitting 20 cars who they didn't have to bother making any noise or break into, and taking laptops and iPads and purses. And so we have been working real hard out here, because a lot of people move out here thinking we moved out of the big city, so we don't have this crime, we don't have these issues. And you say, well, you still got to practice, you know, some safety. So yeah, a lot of these folks I'd say the majority are drug addiction issues, folks living on the street, just flat out criminals. They're just petty criminals who just make life tough. I think there is an increase in, I know in our city, we just noticed an uptick in auto thefts this first quarter, as well as the thefts, and we're directly relating that to, well, you got a pipeline from Renton Maple Valley Highway, and when we talk to some of these guys we capture, they're like, well, where do you live? I live in Renton. What are you doing here? Everybody knows you don't arrest people here at this store. They just kind of move you on. It's like, got bad news. That was bad information. You're going to jail. But we're usually hooking up on something else. Or they made a mistake to go over to the Safeway, and Safeway says, we'll prosecute. So, yeah, you don't want that reputation out there. You know, I kind of want the reputation for theft and petty stuff like that. I want it equivalent to the reputation that don't drive through her town and speed. I want the bad guys to start going down the Maple Valley Highway saying, don't go down to those cities, those tri-cities, because you're going to get arrested, with the same attitude of, let's go somewhere else with easier targets. So, yeah, it is the drug addiction, the homelessness, and it costs us a lot of money to prosecute and incarcerate.
Councilor Weber?
I also have just a comment more so than a question. I want to say that I personally appreciate the Explore program. Officer Victor does a lot of work, and some of the other guys do too.
Absolutely.
It's an excellent program, and I hope that the funding keeps going.
I think it will. I thank you very much, and very timely you brought that up, especially for the city of Covington, because Karen Davey, who works hand-in-hand, she came, we somehow you guys stole her from CPAC.
Yeah.
What a coup.
Yeah.
And between her and Greg, I mean, Dynamo 1, Dynamo 2, everybody thinks Greg is a hardcore, let me see your license, register, traffic cop.
Yeah.
Inside that man is the biggest heart of gold, and he takes care of those kids like they're his own. And with Karen and him, and Karen was just announced as the state recipient for Explore Advisor of the Year.
Wow.
And she's going out to, I think, as the lead head honcho for the Explorer Academy this year. She puts in countless time and energy, and so does Greg. And the way this all works is because you got a couple chiefs who we completely support it. It's like, well, you know, I know you're tight on budget. I said, that's the next generation. Those kids influence other kids, influence. And we got city bosses and city councils that support us and help budget for that stuff. It is one of the best investments you've ever decided to make, and just keep it going, because the kids that you're putting through there, some are come from troubled families, some are average Joe families, and some from, it's just all walks of life, and they're coming from across the board out here in South King County. So Covington, unincorporated, it's phenomenal. So I'm glad you brought that up, and you have stellar people that I can't take credit for that have been doing this, and they just give of their hearts and their time and their love.
Yeah, I wanted to bring it up because it affects me personally, because my son was the post captain last year, and after tomorrow he graduates from security forces training for the Navy.
Wonderful. Outstanding.
So, that program had a big influence. So thank you.
And I was an Explorer scout too for Maple Valley, actually on the corporate back in the day. So I wouldn't be where I am today without the Explorer program. It taught you a lot of values. Like the congressman said, you know, I go by list every day. So, anything else for the chiefs?
Thank you.
DJ, I like the fact all three of you work together as a team, and then your organizations always start from the top down, and three of you are examples for the whole region of how well the three of you work together. So continue that partnership, please. It means a lot to all of us. So, thank you.
I got to go give Andy a ride home. I think he's been up since like, what, dark 30 last night? 2:30?
Two.
Another hardworking man. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we are way past our time here. So I'd kind of like to entertain that we kind of skip our closing comments for tonight, unless somebody really has something they need to say tonight. Can we all get a consensus? We're going to skip that for tonight.
Skip it.
I just want to say one thing really quick is, Jim Scott, thank you very much for your service to the city of Covington. Sorry, Covington. Thank you very much. Covington would not be where it is today without your leadership, so thank you very much. Next year, Black Diamond gets the gavel.
Yay.
And on that note, City Clerk's Office, anything else for the agenda? City Manager's Office, anything else for the agenda? Okay, anything else? Okay, call this meeting to recess. We'll see you in 1 year. Thank you.
You know where Curtis is? I have a